While America sleeps, it is under a blitzkrieg-level attack from within. As the CCP and the United Nations work in lockstep under the banner of the New World Order to collapse Western civilization before the citizens of the free world regain power and justice.
The committee has found that the CCP is waging a war without weapons against America. And the Biden-Harris administration has no government-wide strategy to combat CCP warfare. Unlike the first Cold War, the adversary is already within, having entrenched itself within U.S. borders, institutions, businesses, universities, and culture centers by capturing the elites and influential circles.
Oh, in my home state of New York, the deputy chief of staff to Governor Kathy Hochul was arrested on federal charges for acting as a secret agent of the Chinese government. Last year, several individuals were arrested on charges that they had helped to establish secret police stations. Dr. Thayer, can you elaborate on why the Chinese government would establish a secret police station in New York City?
And their purpose is to intimidate and coerce Chinese Americans, other members of the Chinese diaspora, for example, and why we tolerate such a violation of our sovereignty, I simply don't know.
If you do not control the borders, you are going to destroy our country. So now that, you know, they're sending the migrants into New York and stuff like that, so all of my super liberal friends, now they realize what a problem is.
I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in.
Meanwhile, nuclear world war metastasizes while the New World Order actor puppet dictator Zelensky joins his fellow Democrat money laundering psychopath comrades to push Russian President Putin into a nuclear corner.
President Zelensky, during his U.S. visit, urges President Biden to approve the use of long-range Western missiles against Russia.
I know my answer. We cannot grow weary. We cannot look away. And we will not let up on our support for Ukraine.
There are some in my country who would instead force Ukraine to give up large parts of its sovereign territory, who would demand that Ukraine accept neutrality, and would require Ukraine to forego security relationships with other nations. These proposals are the same of those of Putin.
Canada fully supports Ukraine using long-range weaponry to prevent and interdict Russia's continued ability to degrade Ukrainian civilian infrastructure and mostly to kill innocent civilians in their unjust war.
Of course, in the UK, we have this dreadful new Prime Minister, Keir Starmer, who is doing everything wrong culturally and economically in the UK. And abroad, he wants to escalate the war in Ukraine, or the war between Ukraine and Russia.
On September 13th, the world almost ended. Everybody watching this program almost died. I almost died. The world almost died. Why? Because if the insanity of the British government and those in NATO and some in the United States had manifested itself in giving Ukraine the green light to use Storm Shadow missiles against target inside Russia, Russia would have responded. Possibly not nuclear, but it would have eliminated Kiev as a modern functioning city, and it would have struck targets in the United Kingdom, in Europe, on the European continent, and in the United States. And then we would have probably responded doctrinally by using low-yield nuclear weapons in an effort to escalate, to de-escalate, to send a signal to Russia that you can't do this. And then Russia would have responded doctrinally by releasing the totality of its nuclear arsenal against the West, and then we would have responded, and we would have died. 72 minutes is all it takes for the total destruction of the planet. Do you understand you almost died this weekend? I'm not joking. It's not a joke. I'm not kidding. You almost died and you didn't even know it.
The global elites want a world war and they want it now. There is no clearer path for global domination that provides an escape hatch from the crimes these
minions of... I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up. But I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
It's Friday, September 27th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And you're listening to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Gentlemen, it is the American Journal. I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. I believe Harrison's wife is having a baby. It is to be determined whether that is the case. In the event that she is having a baby, I do believe I will be your host for at least a couple of weeks. Exciting time to be working in InfoWars and having children, given all the recent developments and news about our potential acquisition. But in news, in breaking news, we see more of the same. We see a fast trajectory, a high-speed chase into total collision with a brick wall from the Kamala Harris campaign. We have seen that she is panicking, scrambling. We know that the Democrats are scared because they've tried to assassinate Trump two, likely three times. And it's always been frustrating to me the last couple of weeks when I hear people say that there have been two assassination attempts on Trump, because frankly, there is substantial evidence that there were actually three. If you take into consideration what happened in Tucson just a couple of weeks ago with a very bizarre vision impairment of as many as 20 attendees all sitting in the same spot behind Donald Trump at the event as he entered and exited the stage. It seems like there was a targeted attack on President Trump there, and I don't know why it is that no one's admitting the fact that that was likely a third assassination attempt of the president. But the reason I bring up these assassination attempts is not to beat a dead horse or belabor the point. The fact of the matter is, typically speaking, we don't have situations in which political leaders are assassinated or their assassination is attempted unless those leaders are abundantly popular or just absolute dictators. And so why is it that they would attempt to assassinate President Trump if he was losing the race, as the Democrats say, as the press says? Obviously, he's not a dictator who must be assassinated in order to restore democracy, because he isn't even the president of the United States right now. He's just a civilian, a regular guy, a former president. So this isn't some overthrowing of a despot that's being attempted right now. This is the attempted assassination of a political opponent because this political opponent is abundantly popular, leading in the race. And if we learned anything from 2016, it is that the polls are not just inaccurate, the polls themselves are lies, just as the elections seem to be lies. If they can cheat in the elections with ballots, if they can cheat in the machines, if they can cheat with the ballot harvesting and the mail-in ballots, then certainly they can cheat on the polls, which are just a matter of calling 1,000 people or sending out an email and asking people to respond to a survey. Certainly it's much easier to cheat in a major poll than it is to cheat in a major election in the United States of America. And so why is it that so many people lean on these polls as if they're divine gospel, as if God himself gave them to us on the top of Mount Sinai as lightning struck all around? Fact is, folks, Donald Trump is winning this election, and he's winning this election overwhelmingly. This is why Kamala Harris has been avoiding interviews, though she did just recently do one, which I will show you some outstanding, amazing, unbelievable clips from. But we see this cowering. We see Nancy Pelosi, and I'll show you this in clips today as well, panicking and losing her temper on Jake Tapper for asking a simple question, offended that the question even be asked. We see KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, snapping at racist accusations racist claims about Haitians in Springfield. We know that this economy, this country, this race, this campaign is nothing but a total disaster for the Democrats, akin to the disaster so many in the Southeast are facing with this hurricane. There is a storm coming, a populist storm coming, and the Democrats can do nothing but shutter their windows and hide, set up as many defenses as possible, and make as many outstanding claims as possible to just deny the reality, the objective reality. That means nothing but their total demise and their total powerlessness. MSNBC's Stephanie Ruhle defends poor Kamala Harris' performance in a softball interview. Guys, this interview was so easy that anyone even not paying attention to politics could have knocked it out of the park if they had an IQ above room temperature. I mean, imagine if I was going to go to an interview because I was running for president of the United States and Alex Jones was conducting the interview and he just asked me questions like, Chase, what do you think of globalism? Or, Chase, what's it been like working at InfoWars? These are the types of questions that Kamala Harris is asked in these interviews. They are such softball questions, and that's not even the most offensive part. The offensive part isn't the fact that these debates are rigged and the questions are given to Kamala ahead of time, or she might be wearing an earpiece with her earring that's having someone give her advice or suggesting responses to her. That's not even the offensive part. The offensive part is that despite the fact that these questions are such softball questions, that these questions are so easy to respond to, she still seems to respond like an utter fool. And I, for one, am not someone who thinks that Kamala Harris is stupid. I actually don't think that she's stupid. I think that she's very foolish. I don't think she has any wisdom, but she has certain skills that one cannot deny. And you could say, Chase, remember how she got started in her political career on her knees, knee pad Kamala. That's what everybody says. That's true. But there are a lot of women that are willing to get on their knees for a job or an opportunity, and they don't all become the vice president of the United States or the attorney general of California or the presidential candidate for the Democrats. So she must have some political skill, political talent, even though she doesn't understand policy whatsoever, even though her philosophy is not grounded in reality whatsoever, even though she can hardly put a sentence together, and anytime she speaks, it's just rambling and rambling like someone threw a dictionary in a laundry machine. She does have a talent for gaining political power without any merit whatsoever. She's like that boss you have who just faked it and flattered the right people and keeps getting promoted even though you're the one doing all the work. I'm sure everyone's worked with somebody like that. How does this person keep getting promoted? How is this person my boss? How is this person higher up in the food chain than I am at this organization after all I've done and as little as they've done or can do? After all their incompetence, well, Kamala Harris is that only for America. And let's see what she says here. We're going to watch a few of these clips. Let's go into clip number 4 here where she responds to the question or statement around prices being high. Let's see what she has to say in 4.
Prices are still high.
Yeah, I agree with you.
You said you want to take this on mm-hmm. by going after those who engage in price gouging.
Yeah.
But as somebody who supports free markets, who's a capitalist, how do you go after price gouging without implementing price controls? Because once we get in this zone, people start to get worried and they say, I don't know what she stands for.
So just to be very frank, I am never going to apologize for going after companies and corporations that take advantage of the desperation of the American people. And I, as Attorney General, I saw this happen. In the midst of an emergency, whether it be an extreme weather event or even the pandemic, we saw it, where those few companies, not the majority, not most, but those few companies that would take advantage of the desperation of people and jack up prices. Yeah, I'm going to go after them. Yes, I'm going to go after them. And that is part of a much more comprehensive plan on what we can do to bring down the cost of living, including housing, including the everyday needs of the American people.
Unbelievable how senseless that response was. And this is one thing that really frustrates me about these leftists, these socialists, globalists, Marxists, communists, whatever you want to call them. They're all kind of the same. They just seek to conglomerate political power into one central government and then exploit the people. It frustrates me that for decade after decade, basically ever since Karl Marx decided to put a beer down and write a book, these leftists have been saying that the problem with capitalism is that it's based on greed, which is to deny the fact that everyone, regardless of where they are or what culture they're up in, they're brought up in, is equally susceptible to being greedy than anyone else. Do you think that the communists in Russia are less greedy than the capitalists in the United States? Do you think that the communists in North Korea are less greedy or the Chinese are less greedy? Fact of the matter is, greed is a universal truth, a universal characteristic of the human condition, regardless of what civilization or culture or nation one lives in or economic system one lives in. The difference is that in capitalism, greed is turned into something that benefits all of us. For example, Henry Ford wanted to make as much money as possible, so he implemented the assembly line, and because of his greed, he was able to manufacture automobiles so efficiently that everyone in America was able to afford one. That's what capitalism does to greed. It turns it into a benefit for all, a good for all. It takes a vice and turns it into a virtue, something communism or socialism or globalism simply cannot do. And so after decade upon decade of making the claim that capitalists are greedy, 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 right-wing Republican business owners, greedy, greedy corporations, greedy, 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 greedy millionaires, billionaires, they act as if suddenly 3 years ago when their administration came into power, their regime took power in the United States of America, suddenly there was an influx of greed in all these business leaders in these industries. Oh, so now the grocers are suddenly price gouging and they're so much greedier now than they were just 4 years ago or 5 years ago. It's absolutely ridiculous. The answer to the riddle is that the prices are going up because of inflation, not because of corporate greed, not because of price gouging, not because of taking advantage of desperate people. The people themselves are desperate because of the inflation. That's exactly what's happening. And yes, she wants to come after these businesses because she wants to price fix, because that's what communists do when they don't know how to solve a problem using the invisible hand. As Adam Smith wrote in Wealth of Nations hundreds of years ago, foundational economic document, book, tome of the United States of America. Because if you try to control something as complicated as the U.S. economy or the world economy from a central location, from a government authority, it's incredibly wasteful. Because you just simply cannot keep track of it. I don't care how many employees you have, how many government agencies you hire, or agents you hire, or bureaucrats that you hire. There is no way in hell that the government can manage an economy more efficiently than an economy can manage itself if hands are taken off, if we have a laissez-faire capitalism. So she fails to answer the question. She blames corporations and greed for the prices going up in the United States of America because deep down she understands that it's a result of inflation, and the inflation comes from their exorbitant spending. But we can't cut spending because, after all, government spending is how the political class gets kickback and ensures that its investment portfolios grow. So they can launder tax money through a legal but unethical system into their own pockets. And in clip number five, she really does do a great job of shedding more light on her otherwise senseless responses. Tell me, when we take calls in the third hour, can you make any sense of this clip, number five?
And assistance to state and local governments around transit dollars. And looking holistically at the connection between that and housing. And looking holistically at the incentives we in the federal government can create for local and state governments to actually engage in planning in a holistic manner. That includes prioritizing affordable housing.
Now, Stephanie Ruhle seems to understand that Kamala Harris's ultimate philosophy is to spend as much money as possible and where money cannot be raised through tax revenue to simply print it. Now, I don't think Stephanie Ruhle necessarily has a problem with this philosophy, but she does bring it up in a very subtle way, in a softball way, to try to allow Kamala Harris to respond to it. Let's see what she says here in clip number six. Where she asks simply, where do you get the money if you fail at the legislative level to raise the taxes in order to fund these projects, these operations that you want to fund?
expanding that child tax credit, or you mentioned housing before, giving that extra money for a first home, if you can't raise corporate taxes, or if GOP takes control of the Senate, where do you get the money to do that? Do you still go forward with those plans and borrow?
Well, but we're going to have to raise corporate taxes, and we're going to have to raise, we're going to have to make sure that the biggest corporations and billionaires pay their fair share. That's just it. It's about paying their fair share.
Oh. So what do you do if you can't raise taxes? Well, we're going to have to raise taxes. That's not an answer to the question. And even Stephanie Ruhle acknowledges that Kamala Harris fails to answer all the questions in the softball interview when she debriefs about it, when she analyzes the interview later with her colleagues. This is clip number 9, where she acknowledges that Kamala Harris basically failed to answer any question straightforward. Clip number 9.
Talk about that answer. I do, but here's what's a little tricky. She doesn't answer the question around if the GOP is controlling the Senate, if she can't raise corporate taxes, where is she going to get the money from, is, you know, to expand the child tax credit and do all the things she wants to do. And she says, we just have to do it. And that's great, and that's a campaign promise. But the issue is, if it means we're just going to borrow again, then what we're doing is we're just never addressing the deficit. And back in the days when you were a proud Republican, debts and deficits mattered.
Okay, well. Yes, it's true that Kamala Harris failed to answer any of the questions, and that was disturbing. But frankly, when push comes to shove, it's okay that she couldn't answer any of the questions. Look at her response here in clip number 8.
Tariffs, if used in the right places, can work. And one could watch that and say, well, she didn't give a clear, direct answer. That's okay, because we are not talking about clear or direct issues.
You don't have to give a clear, direct answer to complicated issues. Actually, you do. In what field does the level of complicity or complexity, thank you, in what field does the level of complexity have any correlation or justification to how sophisticated or direct of an answer you have to give? What significant or substantial problem has any president of the United States faced in the history of the United States of America that A, wasn't complicated, and B, didn't require a very specific response? An executive decision. It is called the executive branch, after all. And how can you execute on a policy or an idea if you don't have a clear outline? I mean, they've been criticizing Trump for saying that he has, quote, concepts of a plan instead of a specific plan. She can't even answer a simple question as to whether or not she's for price gouging. The only question she answered directly in the entire interview was whether or not she actually worked at McDonald's. And she said, yes, I did. Yes, I did. And frankly, it might have been the only job that she was actually good at, because somebody else came up with the concept, the speedy system, of how to make fast food as quickly as possible. If somebody else gives her directions, she does great. But coming up with things on her own is impossible. I guess she's the perfect puppet. But we know that they're panicking. And I tell you what, if we look at how some of these kids who have been asked about Kamala Harris are responding, it's absolutely hysterical. And it just goes to show that the Democrats really are panicking. I'm going to show clips number 10 and 19 back to back. In 10, we have a boy responding to the question, what word comes to mind when you think of Kamala Harris? And in 19, we have a girl saying who she's going to support. Let's run 10 and 19.
What's the first word that pops into your head when you hear the name Kamala Harris?
Liar.
Unbelievable. Of course, we have Josh Shapiro here signing artillery, which is prescient, but I think clip number 19 is a little girl.
It'd be good for us to have a black woman as president for the first time in history.
Yeah.
But my vote's kind of still on Trump.
Yeah. Wow. So when you have kids responding in this way, when you have Stephanie Ruhle acknowledging on MSNBC that Kamala Harris didn't answer any of the questions and tried to defend it by saying that's okay because these questions or these issues are complicated, when you have Pelosi freaking out, as we're going to show you in a minute, when you have several assassination attempts on Donald Trump, when you have the political persecution of all political dissidents, whether it's J6ers, Rudy Giuliani, Trump, or this hacking of Vance, that we saw this week, then it's very obvious that we're seeing a level of desperation that we have never seen before here in the United States of America, specifically from the left. And Trump responded beautifully in clip number one. He breaks down what's going on in Ukraine, how much of a disaster this is. You just saw a clip of Josh Shapiro proudly signing artillery. And I tell you what, even if I was fighting a war against the most evil opponent possible, I would not be signing any munitions. That's just not something that you do. It's not classy to sign the munitions and gloat, especially when you know that these munitions have a substantial chance of hitting civilian areas or escalating to World War III. Under no circumstances is it appropriate as a leader to sign munitions gleefully as hundreds of thousands of people are being slaughtered in this conflict on both sides. I mean, Zelensky's signing munitions gleefully as he's sending 65-year-old men to the meat grinder. But in clip number one, let's hear Trump break down the carnage.
I hate to see the carnage. If I were president, it never would have happened. Russia would have never attacked Ukraine. Never, ever. And by the way, President Xi would have never even thought about Taiwan, which he's thinking about very seriously now, flying planes over it every single day. But President Putin would have never attacked. When I look at the horror show that's gone on, and the level of death is far greater than what is being reported. When you look at those cities, they're all knocked down, those beautiful, gorgeous golden domes, they're shattered and lying on their side, never to be replaced again. You can't ever replace that. 2,000 years old. When you look at the heritage of that really very vibrant country in so many different ways, and you see how it's been so broken, the people, so many people dead, where they have to use old soldiers, old men, and young boys because they're running out of soldiers. It's a very terrible thing. And then you see that the United States is paying for most of it, and Europe is not chipping in. And all you have to do with Europe is the same thing I did with NATO. Say you have to pay. And if you say you have to pay, they will. It's very unfair to the United States, but I look forward to seeing him tomorrow. We'll see. I do believe I disagree with him. Well, he doesn't know me, but I disagree. But I will say this. I believe I will be able to make a deal between President Putin and President Zelensky quite quickly.
And frankly, folks, it's not just little kids that know Kamala Harris is losing. It's not just the leftist establishment like Pelosi that knows that she's losing. It's not just Donald Trump that knows that Kamala Harris is losing. It's not just these assassins who know that Donald Trump is winning. It's even Zelensky. In clip number two here, we have Trump after Zelensky pleaded, basically begged, very politely and respectfully begged for time with Trump, acknowledging that he's meeting with him, I believe, today. Let's go ahead and run two.
Change. As you know, President Zelensky has asked to meet with me, and I will be meeting with him tomorrow morning at around 9:45 in Trump Tower. And it's a shame what's happening in Ukraine, so many deaths, so much destruction. It's a horrible thing. And
folks, we're going to dive more in on Trump's remarks and all this outstanding, unbelievable news on the desk on the other side of this break. But in the meantime, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. Now, there's several reasons why you should visit thealexjonesstore.com. First of all, the shirts are absolutely amazing. These are the best designs that I've ever seen InfoWars sell in the history of my time here. And as a viewer before I worked here. Second of all, you get entered to win an amazing truck, $138,000 value, plus $10,000 in cash. And finally, this platform, thealexjonesstore.com, is how we can ensure that Alex Jones stays on the air no matter what happens to InfoWars. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric oxide, probiotics, joint relief max, nerve renew, prostate support, collagen, superfood greens, turmeric, ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep.
improve the quality of your life, and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWarsMD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
All right, folks, Nitric Boost is back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, this supplement is amazing for several reasons. First of all, vitality enhancement. It's a great supplement to add to your routine if you do things like work out, or if you're an athlete, or if you simply want increased vitality throughout the day. The other reason this product is absolutely amazing is because Nitric Boost can help with muscle recovery. Now, we know that muscle recovery is an imperative part of muscle growth, and that this supplement being added to your routine can help you reach your goals in the gym with that recovery. Finally, cardiovascular health is a major factor when it comes to Nitric Boost. We know that heart disease is a major cause of death in the United States of America. Obviously, we've heard tons of reports over the last several years, especially of heart problems, myocarditis, and things like that. We know that Nitric Boost is a way to support your heart health. Check out InfoWarsStore.com today and get your bottle of Nitric Boost now.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. Felt good to be out of the rain. In the desert, you can remember.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geiser, your host this morning. So we see news here that Cuomo is eyeing a New York City mayor run as Adams' legal peril grows. And before I get into some of the clips and details of the Eric Adams indictment, I want to show you this clip, clip number three. This is Donald Trump responding to the news developments of this indictment. And I think he makes a very, very good point here. And we have the clips to back it up as well. So let's watch what Trump had to say in clip number three.
I will say this. I watched about a year ago when he talked about how the illegal migrants are hurting our city and the federal government should pay us and we shouldn't have to take them. And I said, you know what? He'll be indicted within a year. And I was exactly right, because that's what we have. We have people that use the Justice Department and the FBI at levels that have never been seen before. So I wish him luck. I don't know anything about what he did, but I told a lot of group, a lot of people right over there, that group was saying, you know, sir, you were right about that. When they mentioned that, I said, They came in and he was pretty strong about it. He said, this is really unfair to make us carry this burden. We shouldn't be doing this. This is New York City. I mean, your parks are loaded up. I just passed recently Madison Avenue, the Roosevelt Hotel. It's like nobody would recognize it. That's Midtown. But he came out very strongly against it. He was right, by the way, because it's ruining our country. He was honest. And I said, he will be indicted within a year. And that's what happened. And I noticed the indictment's very old. It goes back a long time. Well, I had the same thing. They went way before the statute of limitations. So I wish him well, but I said that he will be indicted because he did that. You take a look. That's what they do. These are dirty players. These are bad people. They cheat and they do anything necessary. These are bad people. And we need an honest Justice Department. We need an honest FBI. And we need it fast. Yeah.
And I believe this may be the clip that Donald Trump was referring to. This is clip number 12, Eric Adams, 1 year ago. And we've got a couple other examples as well that we'll be showing you to keep you up to date on what's going on here. But clip number 12 is where Eric Adams may have signed his own death certificate. Let's watch.
Support. And let me tell you something, New Yorkers. Never in my life have I had a problem that I did not see an ending to. I don't see an ending to this. I don't see an ending to this. This issue will destroy New York City. Destroy New York City. We're getting 10,000 migrants a month. One time we were just in Venezuela. Now we're in Ecuador. Now we're getting Russian-speaking coming through Mexico. Now we're getting Western Africa. Now we're getting people from all over the globe have made their minds up that they're going to come through the southern part of the border and come into New York City. And everyone is saying it's New York City's problem. Every community in this city is going to be impacted. We have a $12 billion deficit that we're going to have to cut. Every service in this city is going to be impacted. All of us. And so I say to you, as I turn it over to you, this is some of the most educated, some of the most knowledgeable, probably more of my commissioners and deputy commissioners and chiefs live in this community. So as you ask me a question about migrants, tell me what role you played. How many of you organized to stop what they're doing to us? How many of you were part of the movement to say, we're seeing what this mayor is trying to do, and they're destroying New York City? It's going to come to your neighborhoods. All of us are going to be impacted by this. I said it last year when we had 15,000. I'm telling you now, with 110,000, the city we knew, we're about to lose. And we're all in this together. All of us. Staten Island said, send them out to Manhattan.
Manhattan said, he's absolutely right. He's basically stating the obvious, and we're going to show you another clip number 13 here in a second. He's saying the obvious. The fact of the matter is, if you allow the invasion of a country and you send the invaders to various communities in droves, Springfield is an outstanding example, where the population went from 36,000 to over 56,000 in 2 or 3 years, an astronomical increase in the number of people in the town, and then suddenly the town is half not people from the town, basically overnight. When you sponsor such an invasion, it's going to cause disruptions and problems. It's going to weigh heavy on the infrastructure. You're going to have breakdowns in things like healthcare and education and housing. It's going to drive up housing costs. If you allow them to drive without giving them a license or proper training, then it's going to cause car insurance to go up because the number of collisions in the area is going to skyrocket. And the premiums for car insurance are correlated to some extent to the number of collisions in a given zip code or area. He's just stating the obvious, but for that, he became a political opponent. And I don't know why it is that we have the Kamala Harrises and the Joe Bidens and the Karine Jean-Pierres who come out and say that any criticism of this migrant issue is an example of racism. Nobody is saying that the problem with these migrants is their race, or that these migrants are of an inferior race to the white race, therefore we don't want them here. What everyone is saying is that what our leaders are doing is helping no one. In fact, it's harming Americans for the benefit of strangers who do not come here to assimilate, or because they want to be American, or because they have shared values, or because they believe in freedom, the reasons that many of our own ancestors immigrated to the United States from various places all over the world. The issue is not their race. The issue is the fact that it is not sustainable for us to absorb all of the desperate people in the world, especially if our leaders are going to lie about it and say that the reason that they are absorbing these people is because they have such compassion in their hearts, when the fact of the matter is they're all intimately tied to the NGOs and the government contractors who provide the services and supplies and equipment and aid to these groups. So we are being sold out, and we are told that we are morally inferior by those who are actually stealing from us and allowing the invasion of our country. I have no problem with a Haitian immigrating to the United States legally. I do have a problem with 20,000 of them being shipped to Springfield, Ohio, so that all of the locals there have to continue to suffer. That causes prices to go up, car insurance, housing, things that are absolutely necessary in order to make ends meet and live here in the United States of America. That just brings more and more suffering. Here's clip number 13 of Eric Adams diving more into this issue.
We're seeing the erosion of the quality of life that we've improved on in such a short period of time of this administration. And we have been impacted. For many months, we were able to keep the visualization of this crisis from hitting our streets, but we have reached a breaking point. We're no longer able to do that because of the volume and numbers. Just last week, we had 3,900 people that arrived here. We are averaging anywhere from 2,500 to close to 4,000 a week. And if you do the math, you see that's 8,000 every 2 weeks, potentially 16,000 a month that we must feed, clothe, house, educate children, and all the services that you would give a normal adult. And we're seeing that play out on our streets of New York. And that is what the breaking point looks like, what we are experiencing right now.
And you want to talk about controversial topics. Let's talk about the fact that the average IQ in Haiti is 67. And it's not a racist comment because it has nothing to do with race. I looked it up. I spent some time with ChatGPT and researching on the web what the issue is with Haiti that's causing so many Haitians to have a low IQ. And it's a combination of things. It's the fact that their government is abundantly corrupt, that corruption has caused a tremendous amount of suffering economically for the people. So you have high malnutrition rates among children coming up in Haiti, which has an impact on IQ over time. It's not genetic. They're not genetically inferior. It's the fact that they're not properly fed growing up. You want to talk about InfoWarsStore.com? You know they have an incredibly high iodine deficiency in Haiti? WHO, other major globalist institutions, health organizations have said that iodine deficiency is among the top five biggest health crises in the world. And it's a huge issue in Haiti. The malnutrition coupled with the iodine deficiency is the reason that the average IQ among the population is 67. And I have compassion for these people. I understand that they're suffering. I understand there's gang violence and cannibalism and corruption and violence and just injustice after injustice, and the natural disaster after natural disaster, and then exploitation after exploitation from the likes of the Clinton Foundation in Haiti. I understand. I feel bad for these people who are suffering and trying to make ends meet. But you can't just plop them into a new context and expect a different outcome. Their country is the way their country is because they are the way that they are. And instead of making them more like Americans, what you're doing is you're making America more like Haiti. We don't want to be more like Haiti. We want to put America first. This is why Donald Trump is winning by such alarming standards, by such an alarming extent. And Eric Adams comes out and just states the obvious. This is going to lower the quality of living for people in New York City. And here's his most recent statement, clip number 14, on his indictment.
Fellow New Yorkers, it is now my belief that the federal government intends to charge me with crimes. If so, these charges will be entirely false based on lies.
but they would not be surprising. I always knew that if I stood my ground for all of you, that I would be a target. And a target I became. For months, leaks and rumors have been aimed at me in an attempt to undermine my credibility and paint me as guilty. Just this past week, they searched the home of our new police commissioner, looking for documents from 20 years ago, just 1 week after he joined my administration. Enough. I will fight these injustices with every ounce of my strength and my spirit. If I'm charged, I know I am innocent. I will request an immediate trial so the New Yorkers can hear the truth. New Yorkers know my story. They know where I come from. I have been fighting injustice my entire life. That fight has continued as your mayor. Despite our pleas, when the federal government did nothing as its broken immigration policies overloaded our shelter system with no relief, I put the people of New York before party and politics.
They're indicting him because they want him out because he's not playing ball with their money laundering. That's what's going on. And they're not just indicting him because they're bitter that he came out vocally or verbally against them and their policy. They're indicting him because he's not playing ball, and they know that if they remove him from the office, that the next person in line is going to be a leftist globalist who will totally play ball and allow this money laundering to continue. And New York's the biggest city in the United States of America, one of the biggest cities in the world, if not the biggest city in the world. And for New York City to be pushing back against the migrant crisis, that's a tremendous amount of opportunity cost for those who are exploiting the issue for the sake of their own wallet. If you look at Hunter Biden's laptop emails, you see that every single time there was a crisis, there was an email exchange for how they could get the contract to exploit it. Whether it was fresh water contracts or food contracts or supplies contracts or aid contracts, this is what our political class does. And they're going to do the same exact thing with the destruction that this hurricane is going to cause in the United States of America. All the politicians are so eager to see the infrastructure of our major cities and our communities suffer at the hands of nature. They're going to simultaneously blame it on climate change, and then they're going to fund all their green energy companies and get kicked back on that. And then they're going to institute all these programs to rebuild the cities, just like the Clinton Foundation was fired up again to rebuild Ukraine so that they can get direct kickback. They exploit every issue, and when there isn't an issue to exploit, they create one. They bring down a Building 7. They institute a Patriot Act. They fund a war in Ukraine for no reason. They allow an attack to happen on Israel, and they encourage a stand down to happen despite the fact they know it was going to happen. They leave weapons behind to the tune of billions of dollars so that terrorists can take those weapons and then use them to escalate an attack on Israel so they can justify getting involved in the Middle East again, because that was absolutely lucrative for them. And look, if you don't believe me, just look at clip number 20 here. This is a Haitian leader. Clip number 20, Haitian leader drinking water.
And everybody in the minority party, there's some, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next.
I'll try again. Clip number 20.
Respect for its dignity.
Loop it again. I think they missed it. Look, he's pulling from the pitcher. That's 67 IQ material right there, folks. I'm sorry. I don't think we can help that person. I think that person's stupid. You can't fix stupid. But Karine Jean-Pierre, is acting like everything's fine. This is clip number 21, where she's responding and criticizing racist comments. That guy is not dumb because he's black. I'm not making a racist claim here. He's dumb just because he's dumb. I don't know if he was malnourished growing up. I don't know if he's got iodine deficiency and needs to get Survival Shield X2 or X3 from InfoWarsStore.com. I'm sure that it would help. Maybe it's too late for him. But you can't just import these imbeciles into our country to the tune of thousands upon thousands without having backlash here. This is KJP just totally denying the fact that there's a crisis that's been totally unnecessary and catalyzed by her administration.
What I will say more broadly, and we have been very clear from here, the president has been clear, the vice president has been clear, I think what we are seeing right now, what we have heard from national leaders about what is going on in Springfield, Ohio, the baseless lies and conspiracy theories, it's dangerous and it is false. And to go after immigrants in that way who have who are there legally, helping a community economically, who are welcomed in that community, and saying these baseless lies, is dangerous.
It's dangerous and it's false. I am so sick of hearing political leaders describe speech or rhetoric as dangerous. That in and of itself is dangerous. And it's not the fact that she's saying that she thinks it's dangerous is the problem. It's the fact that she's going to push for policies to silence Americans in the name of protecting the people from misinformation. And it sounds so nice on the surface to fight against misinformation, ensure that only the truth is published. That sounds, ideally speaking, like an outstanding policy. But the problem is the people who choose what is misinformation and what isn't are corrupt. They themselves are liars, dishonest, compromised. It's a conflict of interest. The truth is not always advantageous to them, especially with this regime that we have in office right now. You want to talk about dangerous rhetoric? You want to talk about dangerous? Let's look at the FBI. The FBI in and of itself is one of the most powerful terrorist organizations in the world other than the CIA. Repeatedly dangerous, repeatedly disproportionately targeting political dissidents rather than establishing justice in any way, shape, or form. Why is it that the likes of Eric Adams are being raided constantly when you have this Ryan Routh guy hanging out on the fifth hole just waiting for a shot? Why is it that nobody knows what happened in Tucson with the seemingly chemical attack or laser attack of 20 people right behind Trump at the rally? Why is it that nobody knew what was going to happen in Butler, despite the fact that this guy was training, this kid Crooks was training in facilities that agents were training in? And cell phone data shows that someone was meeting with him at work and at his home and then going to offices very close to the FBI headquarters in Washington, D.C. This is clip number 15 of an FBI whistleblower warning Americans to pray and stock up on food, water, and ammunition.
And everybody in the minority party, they're fearing what Donald Trump would do in the next administration while they sit here and they look at the guy who's been persecuted by the FBI. And everybody in the room understands it. Mr. Allen, do you have comments you wish to make? I give you about a minute, minute and a half, and then I want to turn the rest of my time to Mr. Jordan.
Yes, sir. I would just say that I consider the hearing today my last act of service as a public servant for the United States of America. And I'll give you my professional opinion. I was an intel professional for our country for many years, and I would give recommendations, and I'd also look at indications and warnings. So I would offer this to the American people as my warning to them. Since this is a warning to the American people, I say, I personally have no confidence that the FBI will rein in its own conduct. I've been persecuted along with Garrett, Steve and Kyle, and countless other whistleblowers. It is my opinion that the Bureau used reprisal and fear to control the workforce. It has been a seemingly effective tactic. I personally believe that there are no current effective checks and balances against them conducting lawless action with any type of correction in a legitimate time frame. I welcome the work of the IG, but I think any type of lawless action, there's no legitimate time frame to rein them back in. Their ability to overclassify information can allow them to stonewall forever. To the American people, you have a duty as a citizen to vote, and I strongly urge you to do so. It's how you participate in the American experience. I know people have doubts about election integrity, but you must vote. It is your claim. Stake your claim and don't forfeit it willingly. Have your voice heard. My other recommendations are in the natural order. First, vote. The second is the Second Amendment. Arm yourself and know how to defend yourself. Make 3 to 4 friends in your neighborhood and promise to come to each other's mutual aid in times of hardship. And during the Great Depression, people stocked up a pantry. So I think that's a good practice, especially in our economic times, and make sure you have 3 to 4 months of food. As a person of faith, I'd say pray the rosary. Go to the First Friday devotions. That's for everybody, all my brothers and sisters of all faiths, and I know I'm Catholic. And read the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and live it every day. And that's all I have to say. Thank you for the time.
You know, Mr. Allen, the fact that there are servants like you who have borne up under persecution that a lot of political leaders in this country do not care about.
You want to talk about dangerous. It's not just an FBI that can classify information that would lead to its own accountability. It's not just an FBI that disproportionately targets political dissidents and allows the political class, members of the political class, to go away for free. It's not just an FBI that uses people like P. Diddy or Epstein to engage in human trafficking, to blackmail influential members of our civilization. If you want to talk about dangerous rhetoric, why don't we go to this clip, number 23 of MSNBC, saying it's time to extinguish Donald Trump.
He says is the opposite. It's just another lie. Like, how did we get here? Let's extinguish him for good. We have an answer. We have a remarkably talented candidate who is sincere, who's pragmatic, who's open. Let's just get it done.
And she has a right to say that. She has a right to say, let's extinguish Donald Trump for good. But she doesn't have a right to say that and then claim that the rhetoric of the right is dangerous and inflammatory. You don't have a right to say Donald Trump needs to take a bullet and then claim that Donald Trump incited an insurrection on January 6th and that his rhetoric is something he should be held accountable for or held responsible for. And we've got Pelosi freaking out. She's absolutely losing her mind in clip number 26 here, where she can't even believe that Tapper brings up the issue of Kamala Harris's cognitive decline. And I'm not saying she's in cognitive decline. I'm just saying she is a bumbling fool. Not stupid, but obviously very, very foolish, dangerously foolish. Clip number 26.
Donald Trump saying that Kamala Harris has bigger cognitive problems than Joe Biden.
Why would you even cover that? This is a person who's not on the level. He is their nominee for president. He is incompetent. Let's not even talk about the silliness of it all and the weirdness of it all and the assault on women that it is. We're not going
to
talk about
it. How is it an assault on women to say that Kamala Harris is in cognitive decline? It doesn't make any sense. They always try to make it about identity politics. So if you're against the migrant crisis because it is a crisis and it's causing pain and suffering for American people, that's because you're racist. And if you're calling Kamala Harris in cognitive decline, it's because you're sexist. They always revert back to this identity politics, and they want to extinguish Donald Trump. They want to silence him. They want to kill him, frankly. And they want to do the same to you. And they're trying to do the same to Alex Jones. They're trying to take Alex Jones's personal identity, his name itself, and claim that it is their intellectual property, the leftist regime's intellectual property, so he can't even use his own name, so he can't even use his own social media accounts, at Real Alex Jones on X. That's what they're trying to do, and it's not just because they want to silence Alex Jones. It's because they want to ensure that the people cannot be awakened or enlightened by the truth that he speaks. They're not coming after him because of anything he ever got wrong. They're coming after him because of everything that he got right and gets right every single day. And if you want to keep the truth broadcasted worldwide on InfoWars, please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. We need your help more now than ever. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now to be the reason that Alex Jones is still on the air.
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today. America is waking up to the sad and painful fact that we've been under a multinational, globalist, deep state intelligence agency controlled coup for decades in this country. They didn't have full control 30, 40 years ago, but they're really attempting full control now, and that's where we are. And InfoWars has engaged in the best long-term analysis of the enemy operation and predicted the resistance movement would form against it and the fact that we would have major successes against the enemy, but they would then double, triple, quadruple down. That's where we are now. So it's more important than ever that InfoWars stay on the air. I just want to thank you all for your support and spread the word. It's more important than ever that we get funding. We try to make it easier for you to fund us.
by simply going to InfoWarsStore.com and getting great products that enrich you and your family's lives. I want to just encourage you all to not forget that without you, we won't be here. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com today, and I thank you.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
In the pages of the American Journal, Chase Geiser writes the unfolding chapters of our nation.
This is Greg Reese for InfoWars.com. I am here in Reading, Pennsylvania at the Tucker Carlson show for Alex Jones. It just ended. I just came out. I was in there talking to some of the crowd. I'm still processing it right now, but it is quite an amazing experience. One of the questions I was asking people is, when is the last time they thought in America that this many people came together to hear people talk about politics? And I don't think in our lifetimes, I don't think we've ever seen anything like this. It was extraordinary. And if you're an InfoWars fan, if you've been following the show for a while, you really should have been here to see the crowd welcome Alex. It was amazing.
And with that, ladies and gentlemen,
last time that you know of in America where this many people came around to one place to hear people talk about politics?
I just don't remember anything this large.
I don't know if there ever was another time quite like the times we're living in now.
This is the first I've ever seen it. I got both my sons here now. You look at the crowd here. I couldn't believe how many young people were here. It's awesome.
Never. Not in my 48 and a half years that I've been alive.
I think things have gotten so out of control that you can't not pay attention to it now. It's in your face. It's coming to your doorstep. It's coming to your school. It's coming to your business.
I think everybody should be talking with your fellow neighbors. You know, I even have some neighbors. They have some signs out front I might not agree with, but I still know them. He calls me over, I help him out. I needed a generator one time. He gave me an old generator. I fixed it up and used it at my house.
Do you think they're going to steal the election again?
That remains to be seen. We hope not, but people are working very hard. People are getting smarter, but they could very easily steal the election.
Well, they're going to try like hell, so we got to get out and vote by the numbers.
I think they will. Absolutely.
Well, they're going to try.
Of course.
Well, I'm of the mindset that it's going to have to be postponed, that they're going to do something, whether a terrorist attack, a false flag, or even World War III, to postpone the election because they know they can't cheat again.
They're going to steal it. If they don't, they're going to have their own January 6th moment where they're all up there attacking the Capitol, doing it their way.
And what do you think we need to do next after if they do steal the election as far as...
Well, I don't know. We're trying to find places to move out of the country. But other than that, I think there's no place to go. And I think we just have to, as this gentleman said, we have to work harder and put everything we have into bringing back, what is true and right.
What the Declaration of Independence commands us to do?
I think we have to understand that your neighbor is not your enemy. It's the people who are, have taken control through multinationals and the world. Unfortunately, the world government, who are run by a bunch of NGOs and people who are faceless.
You know what? Sometimes I'm not even sure that the whole system isn't rigged to begin with. You know? The whole system itself isn't rigged to just control the people.
There's going to be a war either way. Whoever gets installed, whoever goes to the White House, there will be a war regardless.
Well, actually, it's sorry to say, I think that is the answer, revolution. Because... I've been of that mind since Obama was elected. It's going to take a revolution to change it back to the republic the way it should be.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're tuned in to The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Ladies and gentlemen, I am Chase Geyser, your host this morning. Maybe for the next 2 weeks if Harrison's wife has the baby. So I want to get a little bit of this AI conversation. I've obviously spent a lot of time with AI. I follow it very closely. I'm very much aware of the benefits and risks of this technology. Just like nuclear weapons, nuclear technology was terrifying in that it gave human beings the ability to destroy the entire planet and everybody on it, so was it amazing in that it provided a way for us to have tremendous amounts of energy at a fraction of the cost or effort. Although I don't necessarily trust the government wielding such a power, and we know that there are issues with these facilities, and in the event that there is a mass extinction event, then the meltdown rate of these facilities, these nuclear power plants, would be tragic. We all know what happened with Chernobyl. But we have this happening again with artificial intelligence. This is an amazing technology that's going to empower individuals all over the world in a way that is totally unprecedented, never before seen, groundbreaking technology. It's like finding fire in Pandora's box and being able to cook meat and stay warm for the first time. This is the crossing of a major threshold for human beings. But what we see now is major corporations and the government of the United States of America, as well as other world leaders, engaged in an effort to regulate out any competition and monopolize, establish a political class monopoly over the technology so that it can be wielded against us, the people, working class, populist people of America and the world, not for our benefit, but to our detriment. Big tech government collusion, Biden-Harris admin, Meta, Google, and others launch AI partnership to combat disinformation and hate speech. We were just talking about this. Disinformation and hate speech. Who determines what is disinformation and what does hate speech even mean? Well, if it's up to KJP and others, then that means if you're talking out against the migrants, then you're engaged in hate speech and you should be arrested or silenced. Hillary Clinton has countless clips saying that we need to be re-educated or put in camps or imprisoned or silenced. Our speech needs to be outlawed. Tim Walz, same thing. Speech needs to be outlawed. Kamala Harris comes out against freedom of speech all the time. KJP saying that rhetoric is dangerous. Nancy Pelosi saying that rhetoric is dangerous. Leftists on MSNBC or CNN saying that rhetoric is dangerous. So the problem isn't that we have an epidemic or a pandemic of disinformation or hate speech. The problem is that we have corrupt political leaders who try to weaponize our inclination to moral policy against us so that we wind up with nothing but hate speech and disinformation. The disinformation that we get from the government and the hate speech that we get from the government when they call us things like domestic terrorists or the greatest threat to national security or white supremacists or racists or sexists or xenophobes or Islamophobes. They can say whatever they want about white people in America, no problem whatsoever. They can even sponsor the invasion of our towns and communities and homes, no problem whatsoever. But as soon as we cry out for some relief or justice in the context of such an injustice, then we suddenly are victims of their monopoly over the mainstream media narrative. That's why they want to silence Alex Jones and others, the Tucker Carlsons, the Elon Musks, the Joe Rogans and others. They want to silence us because they no longer have a monopoly over the narrative, a monopoly they established during Project Mockingbird, during the Red Scare, as the Cold War began to ensue. The article reads, it's about what your democracy-loving ancestors would warn you about, without even knowing about AI, but fully aware of what governments can and will do. Censorship, this time around, AI. Introducing AI stamps that could be turned into flagging memes, satire at the drop of a dime. Current U.S. White House seems to be exploring every possibility that might secure another avenue for what opponents and quite a few lawmakers refer to as collusion with big tech. A new scheme has just been announced that revolves around the AI and disinformation buzzwords and includes the U.S. State Department, Meta, Anthropic, Google, IBM, Microsoft, NVIDIA, and OpenAI. I wonder how many of these companies Nancy Pelosi holds stock in. And we're going to get into the OpenAI stuff and how it's trying to become a private business after being a nonprofit, and how Sam Altman's claiming he doesn't care about the money but driving around in a $4 million car. What we're seeing here is an effort by the major corporations who are in bed with the deep state to regulate out any competition so they have a monopoly over this technology. They don't want anybody in their garage like Steve Jobs with Apple developing the next big thing at a low cost. It's more efficient and more accessible. They don't want any competition over this technology whatsoever. They understand that it is abundantly powerful, and they, being power hungry, want to ensure that they have all the power for themselves. Because power is like energy. It can either be created or destroyed. It merely changes form. And what we're seeing from our political class is the desire to change the form of the power in the United States of America from a form of representation and accountability to the people, from a form where the people have rights that the government simply cannot infringe, to a new form, to an authoritarian form, to a despotic form, a globalist form, a conglomerated form of power. They're siphoning the power out of the American people into their own hands. And if you have a problem with that, then you can file a report, but unfortunately nothing's going to be done about your complaint. Nothing's going to be done about the issues that you have with their policies, except maybe you'll find yourself indicted like Eric Adams, or sued like Alex Jones, or imprisoned like Owen Schroyer or Steve Bannon, or Dinesh D'Souza, or Brandon Strock, or others. I mean, it's absolutely disgusting what we're seeing. And frankly, the deep state should be ashamed of itself. Let's watch clip number 25. This is Tucker talking about the predictions that Alex Jones made 23 years ago regarding 9/11 and how instead of being celebrated and reached out to for consultation, ever since 2001, the deep state, the government, the left, has done nothing but attack Alex Jones relentlessly, just as they are attacking the American people relentlessly. Here's Tucker in clip 25.
There's nothing to be ashamed of there. I'm not ashamed, and you shouldn't be either. They should be ashamed. He called 9/11, and they tried to put him in jail for it. So anyway, thank you.
Well, thanks for having me, I gotta say. I love you. This is a beautiful state full of beautiful people. And when we get President Trump elected, all of us together are going to lift the curse off of this country, and we're going to send the globalists to prison.
That's exactly where they belong.
And it is amazing. It is amazing to meet all these great people, whether they're black, white, old, young, to see the electricity in people's eyes that are populist and that are Americans and that love God and that love children and love freedom and hate tyranny. I can feel the strength in this auditorium at capacity in Reading, Pennsylvania. And like I told the globalists a long time ago, I don't know how all this is going to end.
Just makes me laugh. Alex Jones. both so controversial. Love God, love America, love freedom. Oh, you're so radical.
And Tucker, Alex, the one thing I always give Alex props for that no one ever gives him credit for, Alex Jones has stood against war for 30 years every single day of his career.
But I'm for the war peacefully with information against the globalists. The real war's here with the globalists and Soros and Obama and the New World Order and BlackRock. They've declared war on us, and we accept the challenge. We're taking the country back.
Yeah, yeah. They hate those comments more than anything else Alex Jones has ever said. That's what they actually hate. That's what actually pisses them off more than anything he's ever said. More than the Sandy Hook stuff, more than any of the other issues, more than any of the other lawsuits, litigation, more than any of the other criticisms against Alex Jones, they hate it when he's right. They hate it when he says that, when he actually identifies the correct enemy. You see, they're trying to manipulate the American people into believing that the enemy is your neighbor on the right or your neighbor on the left. It's Republicans or it's Democrats or it's whites who hate blacks. Or it's xenophobes who hate migrants. They're trying to get you to identify the source of all your problems as the wrong culprit. And then once you do that, they're going to use that injustice, that error, as an excuse to imprison you, to re-educate you, to encamp you. The totalitarian left is celebrating the potential end of InfoWars. We cover this on InfoWars.com. So many people, even Krasenstein, came out. I don't know if you guys saw this. Krasenstein came out and said that Brian Krasenstein was going to bid on InfoWars, change the name of InfoWars to Miss InfoWars, and make Alex Jones dress up like a fairy and tell fairy tales. That's what he said. Of course, I responded and challenged him to a duel, a lawful duel. And he said, is that lawful? And I said, yes. And he said, actually, Elon Musk should buy it. That's how he responded. But here's Hillary Clinton. Advocating once again, clip number 27, for the deprogramming of anyone who is a political opponent or dissident or just simply doesn't buy any of her misinformation or disinformation.
Sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to.
A formal deprogramming of the cult members. And here we have clip number 29 of Mark Cuban bashing Trump. And Mark Cuban, I don't understand. Why is it that just because someone is tremendously successful, they think that they're right about absolutely everything? The guy was on Shark Tank, made a lot of money somehow. Owns a football team, apparently, so he's a genius at everything else. I don't think so. But here he is bashing Trump, and I want to show you this and unpack it on the other side because we have some footage from him just 9 years ago saying quite the opposite. Clip number 29.
So one would call you a Democrat.
No, hell no. Look, there's different things for different reasons, right?
Would you be comfortable with a capitalist like Donald Trump being our president?
Yeah, I don't have a problem with it. I like Donald, and he's smart. You know, like a lot of candidates and politicians, you vote for not what they say, but knowing that 99% of they say won't come true, what they'll do once they get it.
Who's going to follow through?
And do I think he's smart enough to figure that out and then just do the right thing after he's elected? Yes. And then Hillary and Bernie say, okay, tax the 1% and that'll pay for everything. Doesn't work, right? Won't work. You know, Hillary's pay for college. Her plan is ridiculous. It'll increase college costs, not reduce. You know, so they don't think them through.
You said, you know, Trump, I get it.
He's changing the tone of politics. You know, in the past, you had to be a Stepford candidate. You had to be perfect. You know, did you ever inhale? Oh, no, I only inhaled. You had to be perfect. Now Trump is the ultimate imperfect candidate. And I think the beauty of what he's doing isn't his policy or his positions, but he's making everybody else become more real. He's making them more honest. They're not as scripted. And I think that's good for politics.
You have a long history with Donald
Donald Trump.
That's my right? boy.
Yeah.
Kinda. Kinda. You know, in person, he's nice. Here's what I do respect about Donald. I'm not saying vote for him, right? But there's something I do respect about. Donald says what's on his mind, right? He's the guy that if we're sitting around talking at a bar, if we're at your birthday drinking champagne and having pink cake, he's going to say what's on his mind. So I respect the fact that he's the first politician to truly say what's on his mind, even if it's not politically correct.
You said Donald Trump, probably the best thing to happen to politics in a long, long time, yep. You said. Would you be Donald Trump's VP? I'm just going to jump right in.
Sure. I'd be VP for either candidate.
If Hillary Clinton decides that Elizabeth Warren is the one for her on the VP ticket,
then there's a good chance I vote for Donald Trump. I'd like to see corporate taxes much lower. I'd like to see inversions from companies moving be far fewer. So, yeah, so from a corporate tax perspective, and, you know, I agree with him. I like what he's doing from that perspective, and we'll see what he does on the personal side. But he's obviously had an impact on the economy, so he gets credit for that. People believe in what he's doing on the tax front. They believe, and I agree, on the reduction of regulation. Not all regulation, the EPA type stuff I don't agree with, but in some of it, the simplification of doing business I agree with. Reducing some of the bureaucracy and the lobbying rules. There's a lot of positives that are positives for business.
There's nothing wrong with strategic tariffs. So if somebody in China or any foreign company is subsidizing a product, let's say steel, so that they're able, that manufacturer in China is able to sell in the United States at less than cost, then it makes perfect sense to incorporate tariffs. You're seeing that with EVs and you're seeing it with other products as well. And so for strategic tariffs, always, they should always be looked at as a potential tool. Where it turns into lunacy is when you do across-the-board tariffs. And so to say that we're going to tariff 10% or 20% or 60% for China or any other countries, that's just inflationary, and that's just a tax on the American people. That's a sales tax through and through.
So he's back and forth, but not forth. He's just backpedaling all the positive comments that he made about Trump in 2016, 2015, 2017. And something happened. I don't know what it was. I don't know if he's compromised somehow. I don't know if he's leveraged because of his investments or if he just realized or decided it wasn't cool anymore to support Donald Trump because all of his buddies, all of his billionaire buddies and investors and friends in the political class hate him so much. But what we see is a total lack of principle. And this is all in the context of the UN claiming that it has a need for global governance to control AI. Why is it that they need to control anything? This is what's so abundantly frustrating to me. They talk about free speech as if it's not absolute. They talk about free speech as if it's dangerous. They talk about speech itself as if it's dangerous. Rhetoric as if it's inflammatory. Speech as if it can be hate speech. Just implying subtly that it's a crime to utter something hateful when it's not. And we know that we basically had free speech on the internet in 2010. Between 2006 and 2010, it was pretty unmanaged. You could find anything you wanted on the internet. You could say anything you wanted. You weren't going to lose your accounts. The account loss thing didn't really start happening in a meaningful way until 2016, after Trump was elected. So if everything was fine when we had total free speech on the internet 10 or 15 years ago, why is it that we suddenly need so much censorship? It's just like when Kamala Harris claims that price gouging is the reason that prices have gone up. Well, why is it that price gouging is so sudden? No, the fact of the matter is free speech is a threat to institutional power. It's always been and always will be a threat to those currently in power. Those currently in power seek only two things, either to maintain their power or, second, to grow their power. And if there's freedom of speech and ideas and truth, then they can't control the narrative. And if they can't control the narrative, then they can't ensure that they have power forever. And they're going to use this legislation in the name of safety to make it illegal to use AI to make funny memes or to do research or to actually get to the bottom of what's really going on. This is clip number 18 where Altman's explaining a little bit of the nature and setup of OpenAI, and we're going to unpack more of it on the other side, but let's run clip number 18.
I wish I had taken equity so I never had to answer this question. If I could go back in time.
Why don't they give you a grand now?
Why doesn't the board just give you a big option grant like you deserve?
Yeah, give you 5 points.
What was the decision back then? Like, why was that so important?
The decision back then, the original reason was just like the structure of our nonprofit. It was like there was something about, yeah, okay, this is like nice from a motivations perspective, but mostly it was that our board needed to be a majority of disinterested directors. And I was like, that's fine. I don't need equity right now.
Now that you're running a company, yeah, it creates these weird questions of like, well, what's your real motivation versus...
One thing I have noticed, it is so deeply unimaginable to people to say, I don't really need more money. Like, and I...
Well, no, people think, I think people think it's a little bit of an ulterior motive.
It assumes...
It's like, what else is he doing on the side to make money?
If I were just trying to say, like, I'm going to try to make $1 trillion with OpenAI, I think everybody would have an easier time and it would save me.
Money's not important to Sam Altman. Money's not important to anybody at OpenAI. Money's not important to Microsoft, who invested, what was it, $100 million in OpenAI at least? Let's look at clip number 22 here.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex change.
1 second.
Do you know Sam Altman, the head of OpenAI? He's always kind of said, I'm not doing this for money. I don't make any money. And they just busted him in a $4 million Kona's egg. See if you can find that car. Oh, I don't need money. But me, money? I'm not even interested in money. He's driving around a $4 million Kona's egg. There he is. Hi, busted.
Hey, bro.
Hey, bro. I think you like money.
You have a $4 million car and you're involved in artificial intelligence. Look, you don't buy one of those unless you really want to get rich.
Yeah.
Well, the fact of the matter, folks, is that these leftists, these globalists, these institutions, these corporations are not for you. They are for themselves. They are for they, them. And we're going to run this new ad from President Trump and unpack it on the other side.
Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners.
Surgery.
For prisoners.
For prisoners. Every transgender inmate in the prison system would have access.
It's hard to believe, but it's true. Even the liberal media was shocked Kamala supports taxpayer-funded sex changes for prisoners and illegal aliens.
Every transgender inmate would have access.
Kamala's for they, them. President Trump is for you.
I'm Donald J. Trump, and I approve this message.
They'll say that it's bigoted and insensitive, but the fact of the matter is they are doing everything they can to support minorities in this country. But they're not actually supporting these minorities. They're conducting mass sterilization on them, a major crime against humanity, something that you might expect to hear about if you watch a documentary about the Nuremberg trials. That's the left solution to the trans question. Oh, as soon as someone begins showing symptoms, let's just sterilize them. That seems like the most inhumane response ever. And there's lawsuits that are popping up now where people are suing these drug companies for making claims that these therapies, these transition therapies, are reversible, when the fact of the matter is they are not reversible. And to the extent that they are reversible, it's certainly not absolute. There's always going to be ramifications and health concerns and health issues as a result of this. So between the OpenAIs and the Googles and the Metas and this administration, which is obviously conducting mass censorship on the American people, weaponizing back channels and boards of directors of publicly traded companies in order to silence the American people, we see that they are representing only themselves and not the American people, and we as Americans have failed to hold them accountable. There is one man who has been trying and fighting to hold them accountable for decades. That's Alex Jones. And now they're trying to take him off of the internet entirely. They're trying to claim intellectual property ownership of everything that has ever been broadcast by Alex Jones, so that if anyone ever uploads any clip that he's ever made or segment that he's ever done, they can get a copyright strike on YouTube or Rumble or Twitter or Facebook or Instagram. And the only way to fight back is to ensure that Alex has the resources he needs in order to protect his freedom, because after his freedom is gone, it's a precedent, and our freedom is next. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and be the reason Alex Jones is still on the air.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down.
And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to DrJonesNaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to the AlexJonesStore.com and DrJonesNaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
Turmeric has been used as a medicine for thousands of years to treat digestive disorders, respiratory problems, arthritis, and depression. It has strong anti-cancer, anti-diabetic, antimicrobial, and antioxidant properties, and is one of the most effective anti-inflammatory medications available. The powerful Bodies formula at InfoWarsStore.com includes 95% curcuminoids, Boswellia serrata extract, organic sage leaf, organic lemon balm leaf, organic thyme leaf, and piperine from black pepper. Bodies is arguably the best turmeric formula available. Get it now. Support free speech and support the InfoWar at InfoWarsStore.com.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
First of all, we want to avoid the middle of the grocery store and stick to whole foods, real food. But these days, even the real food is short of its nutrient potential. And this is why it's important to take a vitamin mineral supplement every day. According to studies, regular multivitamin mineral supplement use reduces the risk of cancer and cardiovascular disease. Perhaps supplements aren't important to you, but in today's upside-down world, a daily vitamin mineral supplement is a must, and we have one of the best. Support your health and support the InfoWar. Get your vitamin mineral fusion today at InfoWarsStore.com.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video.
Can hear the girls all scream soon as our wheels touch down. Junk hits in Tokyo, fashion shoots in Milan, then a private jet to Madison Square Garden. 36 week long tours, 10 singles on the chart. So hear my message, girl, cause it comes from the heart. Help me, my parents sold me to a big producer.
Journal. And speaking of child abuse and censorship and big tech and the conglomeration of power, the American Psychological Association tells children that asking questions is a form of disinformation. Yes, you heard that right. Asking questions is a form of disinformation. New children's literature from the American Psychological Association, otherwise known as the APA, aims to brainwash kids into believing that the simple, innocent act of merely asking a question constitutes intolerable disinformation. So stop asking questions, says the APA. Entitled True or False, The Science of Perception, Misinformation, and Disinformation, the APA children's book exists to pre-bunk the next generation from believing conspiracy theories about things like vaccines, pharmaceuticals, and government oppression as a response to a pandemic. Wow, how convenient that all the things that it's seeking to stamp out in terms of disinformation relate directly to the profitability of psychologists, psychiatrists, the APA, and the government institutions. This book explores how we think and perceive and why false beliefs, superstitions, opinions, misinformation, or wild guesses can just stick around and mess things up, the book states. Believing disinformation means your brain is glitchy, according to the documents. And it's obvious that what they're trying to do is precondition an entire generation to believe everything that they're told from the authorities. Now, if you've ever been in a debate or conducted a debate, or if you just participate in debates online in any way, shape, or form, you might have heard something called the appeal to authority fallacy. It is a fallacy whereby one claims that someone is right just because of their credentials or their authority. So if a scientist says that climate change is real, then it probably is real because, after all, it was a scientist who said it was. That is the appeal to authority fallacy. Similarly, you could say that, oh, if Kamala Harris says that price gouging is happening, well, she's the vice president, so she's probably more qualified to have an opinion on the matter than someone that's just hosting InfoWars. That would be an appeal to authority fallacy. But now we have the APA coming out and telling children what to believe, what not to believe, and if they have any questions, well, that's just because their brains are glitchy. And they use language that children are familiar with, right? Children are using tablets and phones at alarming rates. Attention spans are shrinking faster than the economy itself. And so terms like glitchy, oh, yes, I'm familiar with that, says a little kid. I know what glitchy means. I guess I'm just glitchy. It's not really a bad thing. It still works. It's just not working as optimally as possible. So they want to brainwash the kids. What the hell is anyone doing getting their children literature from the APA? I mean, there was a time in this country where children saw psychiatrists or psychologists only after they'd experienced very real trauma, or if they had severe mental illness, severe behavior problems, or outrageous anger. But now we have a proactive approach to the psychology of our children when we know that psychology itself is a science that is terrible, atrociously unhealthy. I mean, if we look at all of the mass shootings that have occurred over the course of the last several decades, you'll hear from the left that AR-15s and assault weapons are deeply correlated. But one thing they never mention is that SSRIs are almost always involved. I don't know that there's ever been a mass shooter who has not at one point in time been prescribed an SSRI, a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, a psychiatric medication designed to help with things like depression, despite the fact that the labels themselves say that these medications can lead to homicidal thoughts, suicidal ideation, death, murder, lack of appetite, lack of sleep, too much sleep. Basically, everything that could possibly happen that's bad is listed as a potential side effect of these SSRIs, yet no one's coming after them, and yet we all trust the APA when it tells us what we should be showing our children, what they should believe and what they shouldn't believe. I'll tell you what. One of my most optimistic moments dealing with someone from Gen Z is when I go home to visit my family in Illinois. My brothers and their sons and daughters all still live there. I see them on Thanksgiving, and I see them on the 4th of July in Illinois. And my nephew, who at the time was a sophomore in high school, somehow Helen Keller came up. And he said, yeah, I don't buy it. And I thought to myself, oh, that's ridiculous. What do you mean you don't buy it? She was deaf and blind. Everybody knows that she was deaf and blind. She's like, yeah, it doesn't make sense to me. It doesn't add up. And I started to try to make the case for why it was true, and I realized that, oh my God, the only reason that I believe that Helen Keller was deaf and blind was because I was taught that she was deaf and blind. I never looked at the details or the explanation for how she learned how to speak or how she learned how to read. I never knew that she was paraded around, literally paraded around by Marxists as like a token success story of communism and collectivism. And the fact of the matter is we have a generation of children in Gen Z, whether they're leftist or right, that has a healthy component of the way they perceive the world because they know in the age of the internet how false things can be, how much BS can spread, how not to be taken for granted is true something should be. They understand the way people share information and communicate and post, and they understand that just because they read it or see it or hear it, it doesn't mean that it's true. That's something that previous generations before the internet didn't necessarily respect or honor, because the information that we consumed before was from published authors almost exclusively or from credentialed news outlets or from our educators who were respected. We were committing the appeal to authority, but Gen Z does not commit the appeal to authority. Yes, they have problems. They fall into these algorithm traps, and they have this trans issue, and what is it, only 30% of them identify as heterosexual or cisgender. I understand that they have issues, but the fact that my nephew doubted that Helen Keller was deaf and blind, regardless of whether she was deaf or blind, to me was incredibly encouraging. And that's exactly what the likes of the APA is afraid of, our educators are afraid of, our government is afraid of. They're afraid of a generation of people who insist on thinking for themselves. We have news here. Democrat senators urge platforms to share plans for addressing disinformation, even inside encrypted apps. This story ties in directly with the Pavel Durov arrest and policy changes at Telegram in France since. We've got Trudeau government launching a new regulatory agency in case of future pandemics. Wow, proactive regulation. Facebook built a VIP censorship pipeline for the White House. We know this. Unbelievable. We even have Zuckerberg on Joe Rogan's podcast admitting that the CIA called him specifically about the Hunter Biden laptop story. And he's trying to backpedal that now, saying that he's hiring Republican consultants and advisors to try to regain his reputation among those who lean right in the United States of America and the world for that matter. I tell you what, Mark Zuckerberg, the best way to get your reputation restored by those of us who are patriots, who have been preaching the truth about that which was forbidden for years and years is to restore Alex Jones's Instagram account, restore Alex Jones's Facebook account. Why don't you actually put your money where your mouth is? Why don't you actually put your actions where your words are? Walk the walk and start reinstituting some of these controversial figures. Do you not have the balls to do it? Alex Jones supports Elon Musk placing a bid on InfoWars. I hope it happens. That would be amazing. Biden-Harris DOJ urges the Supreme Court to pave the way for increased online age verification, digital ID laws. Oh, so they want to monitor you, track you, and censor you on the internet. They want you to have digital ID to access certain content, but they want to insist on you not having to have an ID whatsoever to come into the country or vote in the country at various elections. Big Brother Banking, UK's new fraud bill sparks fears of financial snooping, of course. We know that our own government is spying on all of our own bank accounts. So they have over, what is it, $600 in transactions in a year, which is virtually every checking account that exists in the United States of America. And then we have the lawfare against Newsmax from Smartmatic for their claims about election fraud. UN seeking global government through all areas of life via a global transformation document. And we have the DC Court of Appeals disbarring Rudy Giuliani over 2020 election fraud claims, sending a message ahead of this race. And the FTC commissioner warns new report may hand big tech censorship playbook. So we see this massive assault on freedom of speech. And you have to keep in mind, folks, that all speech is thought expressed. So right now they're saying you can have whatever thought you want to have as long as you don't speak the inappropriate ones. And they're really not even saying that. They're really hammering down on the thoughts directly when they're doing things like publishing literature for our children to get ahead of questioning anything or looking anything up for yourself. Do you remember when they said it was disinformation to do your own research, despite the fact that in one of Kamala Harris's ads herself, I think it was White Dudes for Kamala ad, they said look it up or do your own research in the ad. The gaslighting is just incessant. And they hate the receipts. They hate it when we point out time and time again, all of their hypocrisy, the back and forth on fracking for Kamala Harris or on Mark Cuban's positions on Donald Trump. The back and the forth, the fact that Hillary Clinton was opposed to gay marriage as a senator and then all of a sudden for it. The fact that Donald Trump was the only president of the United States to go into the office of the presidency in support of gay marriage. Regardless of how you feel about that, he's certainly the most progressive in terms of socially progressive president that we've ever had. He's the first president of the United States to go into office believing in gay marriage or the legalization of gay marriage. Instead, what we have from the left is the signing of artillery shells, the escalation of conflict after conflict, whether it's Hamas and Israel or Ukraine and Russia or China and Taiwan. They want to escalate every single conflict. They want to silence every single thought. They want to censor every single American. They want to imprison every single political opponent. Frankly, they want to assassinate every single political opponent. And if you complain about it, well, it's because you're a bigot or a racist or a sexist or a xenophobe or an Islamophobe or some other terrible thing. A white supremacist, a MAGA Republican extremist, a domestic terrorist. But it's fine for Schumer in clip number 16 to come out and say that, all right, we're going to fund abortion trips across state lines. Let's run this clip. Unbelievable.
Doctors will also, Democrats will also bring up legislation led by Senator Baldwin to create a grant program that will assist with travel-related expenses for those seeking an abortion. This fund would help people overcome financial barriers like transportation, lodging, child care, if they need to travel out of state for this kind of care. Perhaps if Amber had access to this fund and could have left Georgia, if she had the federal resources to move quicker to get her care, perhaps she'd be alive today. I thank Senator Marion Baldwin for leading these two important bills. I thank Senator Hirono for joining them. If passed, those bills will save lives, and I'm proud to support those bills and hope our Republican colleagues will support them as well. Unfortunately,
so while our government is funding abortion trips across state lines, they're simultaneously pushing that pro-Democrat rapper P. Diddy is accused of coercing ex-girlfriend into multiple abortions, as if abortions are a bad thing in their eyes. Of course, I'm no fan of P. Diddy. I think he probably did a lot of very hedonistic, terrible things. We don't know for sure, but we'll see. It's almost certain that he did. But while they're funding the murder of millions of unborn Americans every single year. They're allowing our own people to suffer. While the number of homeless people in America is set to reach an all-time high in 2024 due specifically and directly to the surge in illegal immigration. These illegal migrants come in. They occupy all of the housing, whether they rent homes or apartments. That drives up the price of housing because the demand increases without the supply increasing. And then those of us who are here are unable to afford a down payment on a property. We're unable to afford the increases in rent or the property taxes. And we certainly can't afford the interest rates of these mortgages. And the same thing is happening all over the world. Swedish criminal gangs expanding operations to Iceland. Icelandic justice minister claims. French interior minister calls for ending state medical aid to migrants because they simply can't afford it anymore. Migration is a top concern for Austrians ahead of Sunday's election. Previously convicted illegal immigrant under deportation orders arrested for vicious Paris killing in France. Shock video, stabbing rampage during party at migrant house in Brooklyn neighborhood. That video is disgusting. I'm not even going to show it to you. Immigration does not work, not even economically. German government needs 10 billion euros more in welfare payments than originally predicted for 2025. Outrage in Vienna as luxury apartments for refugees spark protests. Germany Green Party leadership quits following election failure. Of course, they fail because they have no good policies. Swedish foreign minister says country must speak openly of the downsides of mass immigration and illegal alien charge with murdering Salvadorian girlfriend just months after they entered the United States, plus a slew of previously deported sex predators caught at border in 48 hours. So we are being invaded. The invasion is being sponsored by our own government, and it's not because they have any compassion for desperate people or those who seek asylum or refugees who need to escape corrupt governments or natural disasters. It's because they are exploiting the suffering of these people. So while they call you a racist or a xenophobe, or a bigot, or a white supremacist, let's take an honest look at who's really exploiting and harming these people. Do you think maybe it was the Clinton Foundation for getting involved in Haiti to the point where it basically crumbled into nothingness, an abyss of cannibalism? And I'll tell you what, if you search Google, by the way, and you refine your search to only show you results prior to 2020, prior to 2019, you see a whole different internet when you search for Haitians eating cats, Haitians eating pets. I have photograph after photograph, report after report, video after video. I don't know how much evidence we have to bring to the table for people to acknowledge, for the left to acknowledge that there's a serious cultural incompatibility going on right now. I am all for anybody coming to the United States to become an American. I am all for the brain drain, the importation of brilliant scientists and people and leaders and industry innovators, the Elon Musks of the world, into the United States of America for the sake of our own economy and the betterment of our own civilization. But when you are just allowing thousands upon thousands, over tens of millions of people to come to this country totally unchecked, the human trafficking, the over 325,000 children missing altogether, we are seeing a humanitarian crisis, the like of which we've never seen before. You want to talk about Russia's aggression on Ukraine? Forget the fact that we did the exact same thing to Iraq, even worse to Iraq than Russia did to Ukraine just in the last 20 years. Let's look at our own invasion. We have Kamala Harris coming out and celebrating and proclaiming the importance of Ukraine's national sovereignty, of protecting the Ukrainian border. As if she is someone who believes in national sovereignty at all. National sovereignty itself is antithetical to globalism. She is a globalist. These institutions, organizations like the WEF, NATO, the UN, they are all designed to conglomerate political power, to separate the political class from the accountability of their various constituents, and then exploit that political power for the enrichment of the political class and those who are associated with it. And I'm not saying that Donald Trump is perfect. I like him a lot. I think he's great. I think he made a lot of bad decisions in his last year in office. I think he learned a lot. I think he'll have a great second term. But I don't understand, and maybe I'm just ignorant or biased or just too zoomed in the wrong direction. Please forgive me. We'll take your calls on the other side, 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. Maybe I'm just biased, but I cannot think of a single reason to vote for Kamala Harris. Not just against Donald Trump, but to vote for her at all. What has she ever accomplished other than the imprisonment of thousands of Californians for petty marijuana crimes. Other than the imprisonment of thousands of Californians beyond the term of their sentence for the sake of exploiting their labor so contractors could make a buck. What has she accomplished other than withholding evidence for cases pertaining to defendants on death row, simply going to allow them to die? What has she accomplished other than opening the gates of our country and allowing the flooding in of invaders into the United States of America? What has she accomplished ever? I can't think of a single thing that she has done other than get appointed to role after role, position after position. I understand that she charmed her way into political influence, and I know that she was elected, I believe, Attorney General in California, elected. But this is a woman who was the least popular candidate in 2020 in the Democratic primary, who weaseled her way because of diversity, equity, and inclusion into a vice president seat, and then stole the candidacy from Joe Biden without a single vote. I guarantee you that more Democrats wrote Alex Jones in their various primary elections than voted for Kamala Harris to be candidate. 100%. Frankly, I think Alex Jones should sue the DNC for having her as the candidate instead of him, because after all, I think we could probably prove that he had more votes via write-in. Wouldn't that just be great? So now we have this party which advocates for the people and minorities and representation and democracy. God, they love the word democracy. They say it so much. They repeat it incessantly. Yet their candidates, time and time again, Hillary did the same thing in 2016, steal their own primary elections, allow the invasion of our country so they can enlist swarms of migrants to vote. And they specifically send these migrants to swing states like Ohio so that if they do get amnesty after they seize power and make this a one-party state, they'll certainly vote for Democrats. They are trying to turn the United States of America into a one-party state. I mean, it's already practically a one-party state with the uniparty, but they're really trying to make it a one-party state. And if the United States of America becomes a one-party state, say goodbye to freedom. Say goodbye to affordable groceries, affordable housing, honest education, honest opportunities, freedom of speech, right to bear arms. Say goodbye to the Bill of Rights itself. You then will become a serf of the political class in the United States of America. Please call 877-789-2539. Again, that's 877-789-2539. We're coming up on a break in 1 minute. I'm going to give the crew the first 5 minutes of the next hour to screen the calls. And in the meantime, please visit thealexjonesstore.com. That's thealexjonesstore.com. This is by far and away the best way to ensure that Alex Jones does not have his identity stolen by this lawfare, by these leftists, by these globalists who seek to silence all of us. They're trying to barricade right through InfoWars, right through Alex Jones, so they can get to you, folks. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com. The shirts are absolutely amazing. Some of them are hilarious. Some of them are inspiring. Plus, every dollar you spend enters you to win this amazing 2024 Ram, plus $10,000 cash, $148,000 value combined. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com. Get great shirts, enter to win, and save humanity from the globalist takeover.
One of the most frustrating things about being awake to the globalist agenda is seeing the general public still asleep. By and large, not aware of the magnitude of the incredible danger they're under, but also the ongoing attacks and the magnitude of the death caused by the lethal injections masquerading as vaccines. It is so frustrating to see people going about their daily lives oblivious. And you realize ignorance is not bliss, it equals death. But people are starting to really understand how serious things are, and that's a hard thing to do, because to wake up to a dystopic reality and realize that we're in the middle of a giant biological weapons war against humanity, and that there's mass sterilization that's already taking place, and they're cutting off all the major energy sources, is really hard to deal with, but it's the reality. Facing it is our only chance to turn this around. This stuff's about to get really, really nasty. InfoWars.com.
Shop
Supplements are the second fastest growing industry in America over the last few decades. AI has now outstripped it. And that's because people continue to learn how amazing the compounds are that Mother Nature gives us. Now, ladies and gentlemen, not all supplements are created equal. InfoWars MD line, more than 15 products, are all the very best you're going to find at extremely low prices. Take our CBD oil, gummies, and 1,000 milligram tincture. We private label from a top company. They sell it retail for double what we sell it for. Does that give you an idea how amazing these products are and how low the prices are? Just get InfoWars MD CBD, test it out, see how great it is, and then I know you're going to want the other products like our ashwagandha, like our super green food, like our 95% curcuminoid, turmeric 95. They're all available under the InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com. Thank you for your support. This keeps us on air. Plus, these are game-changing products. Get yours today.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch it live right now at band.video.
We're back on the Young Turks. Obviously, a little bit of commotion here. Is Alex Jones and a guy significantly worse than him entered the stage here? What changes in demographics is that he wins white males in such overwhelming numbers that it overcomes every other demographic advantage.
Hillary has. Come sit in your lap.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus.
How's it going?
Hey, Alex Jones. How you doing?
Good to see you, man. You're looking sexy.
All right.
Hey, how's the revolution going? You guys starting the revolution?
We are indeed, Alex. The revolution is afoot. Welcome to the Young Turks.
You know what's wrong with America, isn't it?
I am going to restore American democracy along with progressives and conservatives in this country.
All right. Well, I got to tell you, I am really, really proud to be here with you. It's good to meet you in person.
I don't think
How are you guys doing?
We're doing okay.
You like all our Hillary for President shirts everywhere?
No, I kind of despise it.
What shirts are they?
I haven't seen any of them.
You haven't seen? Oh, my God. You didn't see me? I don't exist if you didn't see me.
I'm not.
All right, guys. Okay.
Here. Look at this. I got a new shirt for you right here. It's rape. It's Bill Clinton that says rape. Oh, God, hide that immediately. That's the big no. The Roger Stone's band.
All right, you want to take my show over? I'll take your show
over.
Okay, you know what? Who does this kind of shirt? First of all, a sick guy. Second of all,
Bill Clinton's not a rapist, folks.
No, you know who's accused in court papers? You know who's accused in court papers of being a rapist? Donald J. Trump. By Donald Trump, Roger Stone. You know that. It's in court papers.
Oh, yeah.
You're a sick dude, Roger Stone.
I'll have a rant off with you right now.
You assault me all the time.
I should give you a hatchet job. A job you're a sick man, Roger Stone. You're the world's biggest liar. Didn't you admit that you lied about Elliot Spitzer? Didn't you already admit that?
You're not afraid of him, are you? You're not afraid of him.
First of all, Alex, this ain't your fucking show.
I don't know.
Roger, it surely ain't your fucking show.
Are you afraid to debate him?
Afraid? Are you kidding me?
I was privileged to see the art of the Alex Jones ambush firsthand when we were leaving the Austin International Airport to go to Pennsylvania. We were flying to Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Rob Dew saw Francis Collins as he was leaving the bathroom. This is the former NIH director. And the NIH is a little bit personal for me. As a hemophiliac, I know hemophiliacs who were contaminated by the medicine, which had hepatitis and HIV in it in the 80s, resulting in the death of nearly 10,000 hemophiliacs, not to mention the 20 million at least killed by these mRNA vaccines. And Rob Dew and I followed Alex to find where Francis Collins went. We approached him at the airport, and it was absolutely amazing to see firsthand. I never thought I would actually see it. He goes up to him and he says, 20 million dead. Wow, more than Hitler. How does it feel? And Francis Collins just nods. He doesn't even know what to say. He's at a loss for words. His face melts. He thought it was a fan at first. And he just nods because subconsciously he realizes that he just heard the truth. He was just accused of something that was true. And since he was taken aback, he couldn't control his just natural impulsive response to the accusation, to the allegation. He just walked away. That is the art of the Alex Jones ambush, and that is why it is more important now than ever that you go to thealexjonesstore.com and support Alex Jones, because I want decades more of Alex Jones content and ambushes and things like that, because we have to hold these people accountable, folks. We have to awaken humanity itself and hold those who seek to conglomerate power and exploit populist patriots from all over the world for their own benefit. Folks, stay with us. Your calls on the other side. I see that the phone lines are lighting up. In about 1 minute or so, I will be taking your calls. Please, seriously, go to thealexjonesstore.com. It's not charity. These shirts and hats are absolutely amazing. Plus, you enter to win an amazing truck, $148,000 value. It's absolutely an awesome opportunity to keep Alex on the air and get some awesome merchandise at the same time. Stay with us.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious, because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension and fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video.
Get the motor running. Head out on the highway. Looking for adventure. In whatever comes our way.
Welcome back to the American Journal, ladies and gentlemen. I am Chase Geyser. I will be taking your calls for the remainder of the broadcast this morning. Alex Jones is in studio and will be hosting the Alex Jones Show in 53 and a half minutes. I can't wait to see what he has to say today, frankly. Let's go to Tim in California. Tim, what is on your mind?
Hey. Good morning, Chase.
Good morning.
Hey, you know, I was thinking about the combination of the powerful computers and then AI, and then how much power AI needs to consume. And that's where I'm leading with this, is how much power it's consuming. Well, first, I remember when the Chinese spy balloon flew over Oak Ridge, Tennessee,
yep,
home of Frontier supercomputer, fastest one on Earth at the time, may still be. It had surpassed exascale, which is more than one quintillion calculations every single second,
yeah,
which would take every human on Earth completing one calculation successfully every single second of our life, no matter how old, no matter how young, rich, poor. You might need to eat or go to the bathroom. No, you can't. You have to do one calculation every second for all of your life. If we did, it would take us 4 years.
Yeah.
Combined,
you know, that's an amazing point that you mentioned, because I hadn't thought of it like this. We know that there's a massive conglomeration of artificial intelligence as a technology. We know the government and major corporations are conspiring together to have a monopoly over the tech. And we know that it consumes a tremendous amount of energy. So if the government is successful in weaponizing artificial intelligence for massive surveillance, massive propaganda, massive coercion of the people, the demand for energy will be so great that not only will it be a tremendous, terrible abuse of the people themselves in terms of psychologically and economically, but it will drive up the cost of energy dramatically because of that demand.
3 Mile Island, you know, back in the 70s, we were building nuclear power stations like gangbusters,
yeah,
and almost single-handedly, the 3 Mile Island nuclear accident, the largest one in all of U.S. history, that almost completely put the industry the industry completely out of business. Almost everyone said, no, no, we don't need this anymore. We don't want Chernobyl. Right. Forget it. But Bill Gates has already made an agreement to fire that thing up. It shut down in 79. He's made an agreement to fire it up, and he gets to buy every single bit of the electricity that comes out of it. So they're going to put everyone at risk firing up a 40-year defunct reactor, but that's still not enough. Back in June, he paid over $1 billion in Kemmerer, Wyoming, to open a new, nuclear power plant. And this is all to support his AI data center needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and the thing that on paper, nuclear energy looks amazing, right? It's an incredibly sophisticated form of energy production. But the problem I have with it is if the government cannot run a DMV efficiently, how can we expect the government to safely run a nuclear power plant? That's what bothers me about it. It's almost the who that bothers me more. Like if Elon Musk wanted to open a nuclear power plant and run it privately, I'd be much less concerned, not necessarily for it, but much less concerned than the government doing it, because the government will run it inefficiently. They'll have DEI hires, and then they'll shut it down, and they'll just have nuclear radiation waste eking away at its foundation. I just don't trust it. I don't think our government's capable of it. What do you think, Tim?
That's really my concern, too, is if you're out on the interstate highway and you're out on the West Coast here, you'll see some of these guys carrying nuclear waste up into the mountains and whatever, and where they hide it all.
Yeah.
And you ask the guy, hey, how long does that container last? And he goes, I don't know, maybe about 100 years. I says, how about the stuff that's inside it? And he goes, oh, man, the half-life is millions of years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what happens once it starts leaking out? And he says, well, we won't be here then.
Oh, my gosh.
It'll be someone else's problem.
Oh, my gosh. Well, Tim, thanks for your call. Godzilla in Tokyo. Godzilla, what's on your mind? Godzilla!
Hey, Chase, good morning. Yeah, I think with the Illuminati hunting Trump, deep state hunting Trump with these assassinations, part of their modus operandi, mode of operation is like threatening Trump, I think, also. So I think he's getting threats along the way and leaving messages with the Trump texts and tweets about the threats he's getting, which only shows how badass he is continuing doing the rallies and, kind of his commitment to MAGA, Make America Great Again. And with that, on that same line, part of it with this assassination is, I think, the bloodlust of the Illuminati post-corona. You know, they have a murder boner going on where they just can't help but keep killing people. And it's important for the future because it shows that they're going to push us into a big war, a meat grinder with Russia, another war with Iran, another war with China, World War III, just because it's part of their MO, and that it's just going to keep going. And I'm sure a lot of people listening have kind of seen the same thing kind of occurring in the dream realm, where everyone's dreams have been kind of peaked now, because that's also tied into our existence here, as the Navy SEAL was talking about yesterday with the DMT stuff. Dreams are intimately involved in this life here and connected with the afterlife and our human process. And I think it's important not only to fight the spiritual war and information war, but also there's a war going on in our dreams. What do you think?
That's really interesting. I don't know that I agree with you, but I certainly don't disagree with you. I think of our dreams as a manifestation of our subconscious, and I believe that we are fallen. So our subconscious is inherently flawed. And I'm not somebody who studies dreams or what different things in dreams mean. Like if you're losing your teeth in your dreams, it's supposed to mean something. Or if you see a snake in your dreams, it's supposed to mean something. But I certainly think that we as human beings, our souls are incredibly vulnerable to the influence of evil and the exploitation of our fallen state. And that it's up to us as individuals to protect ourselves or call on God to protect us from the influences of this evil. And you see an example like the failed Trump assassin, Ryan Routh. I have a report on my desk right now. It says he had a list of every location where former president would be from August through October. Obviously, this is somebody who's mentally ill. Obviously, this is somebody who has been influenced by something beyond just rhetoric that he heard on the media or political persuasion. There is something spiritually wrong with this man. And I mean, we've joked for years about how the leftists are purple-haired, blue-haired, purple-haired, blue-haired. This guy really manifests that. And I don't know if he was sent by the CIA directly or if they just fostered an environment in which someone like him was inevitable to manifest. But there is something deeply spiritually wrong with our culture and our people right now. We have gone from a civilization that, though America wasn't formally a Christian nation, it was practically one because virtually everyone in America was Christian, to an America where at least half the population is atheist, and then the other half of people who believe in God aren't practicing any religion necessarily. So we've had a drastic atrophy. If you think about the obesity problem in the United States, 100 years ago, no one was fat. And then suddenly everyone's fat. A lot of that's because of the high fructose corn syrup that's put in all our food, because of the agriculture lobby after World War II, when the demand went away for a lot of the crops to be shipped overseas to supply and feed our troops. They lobbied for the food pyramid and getting high fructose corn syrup in virtually all of our food. It's the replacement for sugar. That's made everybody fat. So just as everybody in America is obese in a way that they were not obese before, so I believe that we are spiritually atrophied in a way that we were not spiritually atrophied before. And I think ultimately that's the number one problem in America. The number one problem in America is that our people have become godless and immoral. What do you think?
I agree, you know, and I think they're like sick and poisoned, like you were saying. You know, in Japan, the obesity rate for the entire country is like 4%.
Yeah.
You know, in the U.S. it's like 46%. So it's like, you know, it's a problem that can be fixed. You know, we can just copy the homework of other countries that are doing it right. You know, same thing for the homeless problem. The whole country only has about 2,000 homeless people, where there's 1,000 homeless people in Milwaukee County here in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
And spiritually, same thing can be fixed with, like you said, Jesus Christ. You know, Christ is King. And also, I think a lot of people forget, especially the white man, the importance of being in a group and having a good group, fraternity or brotherhood that you can, talk to people who have similar problems. I know, you mentioned it before, and I applaud you for it, for being part of the Masonic Lodge, because it's one of the only remaining good groups out there talking about important things and getting men together, which was crucial for not only the American Revolutionary War, but just maintaining a country is communication. And now with social media, that in-person communication really doesn't exist. No one really meets up at the bars and pubs anymore to talk and talk about politics. It's just listening to rave music or trying to pick up girls or whatever, or getting wasted. So I totally agree with you, Chase.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm not a dogmatic Christian. I'm not somebody who's fire and brimstone and all about being judgmental and throwing stones. But the problem isn't that we fail to be good. I think the problem is that we don't even want to be good anymore as a people. I'm not talking about you or me individually. Of course we do. But there was a time in this country where everybody endeavored to be good, though they failed. Now it's like people don't even care. And when you don't even try, then you're really lost, and that's when you start to experience the wrath of God. Thank you so much. President Zelensky in Ukraine. President Zelensky, how are you?
Thank you, Chase Geiser. Thank you. I've been listening to you for the last few minutes, and you guys been talking about me, and I wanted to set the record straight. First of all, I'm the greatest artist of all time. Nobody plays the piano like I do, so that's one thing. The next thing is my friend Chucky Schumer, one of my best friends. That picture is actually not a cow. It's actually a cat that one of the Haitian migrants caught. So it's not a cow with the cheese on it. It's a cat. And also, I wanted to say that my the disinformation that's been talking about me, how short I am, I'm actually, that's an American trick. I'm not as sure as they picked me. It's a camera trick. So I'm as big as and tall as Shaquille O'Neal. It's just a camera trick to make me look bad. And also, I wanted to say that that shell that's been signed by Josh Shapiro, I'm going to actually keep it as a souvenir. It's not going to be used in battle against the Russians. Everything is just misinformation with you guys. And I just wanted to set the record straight. Also, we're not in a war with Russia. We're in a war with you guys. You guys give us money, and then we use it to buy.
You know, I'm glad that you mentioned that. Thank you for your call, because I do have a report here on my desk that Biden sent $8 billion more dollars to Ukraine 3 days after Zelensky campaigned for Kamala. Unbelievable here. Sleepy Joe Biden on Thursday announced the U.S. will be sending another $8 billion to the corrupt Ukrainian government to fund its war with Russia. The decision comes just days after Ukraine's puppet president, Volodymyr Zelensky, campaigned for Kamala Harris and hours ahead of a White House meeting with Biden. So I don't know what's true or what isn't about Zelensky. I've heard estimates that he's worth hundreds of millions of dollars now. I think he's the wealthiest comedian in the world. And the corruption is just astronomical in Ukraine, and not to mention the bloodshed. But we are in a situation as Americans where we are the victims of treason. Capital T, treason. Our political class is composed of traitors, whether it's Mike Johnson failing to put the SAVE Act into place in order to keep the government from shutting down when half the country wants the government to shut down, or whether it's Joe Biden sending $8 billion more dollars to Ukraine to fund literal Nazi sympathizers in a conflict that makes no sense and is totally unnecessary, so that it can all be skimmed, so there can be control over Ukraine in order to leverage that control against Russia to keep them at bay. And what this really boils down to is a desire for the international community, the globalist community, to ensure that no nation actually has national sovereignty. China and Russia and the United States of America are basically the only three nations left with true, genuine national sovereignty. They don't have to compromise with the international community. They have to negotiate and do deals with the international community, but they are not at the behest of the international community or the globalist community. And as long as there is a single nation with sovereignty in the world, then globalism cannot prevail. They have to have a monopoly. Just like they have to have a monopoly over all speech in order to control the narrative, so they have to have a monopoly over all power in order to ensure they have any power. It's an all or nothing thing. It's a do or die thing. And so what we're seeing right now is the theft of our money via taxation, whether it's sales tax, property tax, income tax, capital gains tax, or any of the other litany of taxes that we face in the United States of America. Gosh, I wish we were only complaining about a 2% tax on tea. We're experiencing the theft of our money so it can be given to our enemies to ensure that a one-world government can be established so that we have no representation whatsoever. Our own money is being used to fund a coup against us by our own leaders. It is treason, capital T treason. And all of those involved in this treason should be charged with treason and given a fair trial, unlike these kangaroo courts that we've seen, whether it's for Alex Jones or Donald Trump, and found guilty by a jury of their peers and sentenced to the penalty of treason. Frankly, I'm not somebody who advocates for violence. I am someone who advocates for justice. And until we find a way to hold these people accountable, the only way I can see is by keeping Alex Jones on the air and simultaneously electing Donald Trump, then we are only going to fall deeper and deeper and deeper into the bowels, into the void of this globalist anti-human corruption where there'll be nothing left of us to even recognize. There'll be no semblance of America left or even our own individuality. We'll be so warped and brainwashed with self-loathing that we ourselves will become like leftists, leaning on SSRIs like North Korea leans on China in some pathetic, bug-eating, starving way, celebrating a gluttonous leader as he walks on by as if he saved us from all of our ails. That leader is the embodiment of Satan. Those leaders, these globalist, communist, socialist, Marxist leaders, are the embodiment of evil. They are everything that is anti-human and anti-God. They are the Antichrist. Globalism itself is the Antichrist. It denies Christ. And further, it denies God's creation. God's first act was to create. First thing he ever did in the book was to create. And these are people who have adopted an ideology and a philosophy that is determined, destined, set upon destroying all that which has been created. Whether it's the earth itself through nuclear war, whether it's humanity itself through depopulation, whether it's free will itself, which we were given in the first chapter of the book, through coercion and manipulation and regulation and censorship, and persecution, they are literally the Antichrist, anti-God. Everything that he did that was good, everything we have accomplished as humans that is good, is at opposition to their interests and goals. And this $8 billion is just one example. We've got the invasion of our border. We've got the injustice and lawfare that we're seeing ceaselessly. We've got the abortion of millions of children unborn a year. The trafficking of hundreds of thousands, theft, corruption, extortion, blackmail. I mean, every single sin you could think of is being committed by our political class, and we are the victims of it. And we're, in a sense, culpable for it, responsible for it, because we have allowed it to happen. We have allowed it to get to this point. We have sat by and decided that rather than voicing our opinions or supporting that which we believe in, it would be more convenient for us to sit this one out, to sit this fight out, to sit this round out. You know, there's a scene in Saving Private Ryan that I love. I think it's a great movie. I know that Tom Hanks is controversial, but it's still a great movie regardless. There's a scene where they're on their way to find Private Ryan, and they come across a small group of Germans in like a nest. And Tom Hanks, the leader of this little group, says, all right, we're gonna attack this German defense embankment thing. And his team is like, whoa, this is not our mission. Our mission is to get Private Ryan and come back. Why are we stopping to deal with this when we could just go around it? Why would we go into danger, into conflict, when we could just go around it? And Tom Hanks says, our mission is to win the war. So I call upon you as info warriors, as an audience of InfoWars, as patriots, as Christians, even more than Americans, as Christians, as those who have adopted Christ, to make the decision to win the war, the info war, the war between good and evil, the spiritual war. Make the decision not to sit this one out. Make the decision to stand up and fight for what you believe in every step of the way, whether it's volunteering for a campaign, whether it's going to thealexjonesstore.com and buying a shirt and wearing it proudly, whether it's sharing the broadcast or clipping your favorite moments at band.video. You can download it for free. It's always been free to air, always free to use. Don't sit this one out, because though you may think you have a different mission, a smaller mission, something that is a greater priority in your own life, our ultimate mission as human beings, as Christians, followers of Yeshua, is to win the war between good and evil. So please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. The shirts are amazing. Some of them are funny. Some of them are inspiring. They all speak the truth. Every dollar you spend enters you to win this amazing truck, 2024 Ram. It's a $138,000 truck with the upgrades, plus you get $10,000 in cash. We're going to announce the winner on October 30th, but more important than ever, more important than getting a great shirt or a great hat or entering to win an amazing truck, the coolest truck I've ever seen, riding in it's the second best feeling in the world, you keep Alex Jones broadcasting. Whether it's through InfoWars or not, This is the best way to keep Alex Jones on the air, holding evil accountable, holding it at bay. Please go to thealexjonesstore.com right now. Keep Alex Jones broadcasting the truth worldwide.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. TheAlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word of the third dimension and fund the operation. And also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsored InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward. If we've got to set up a new operation, and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action.
I have been in a 28-year marathon battle with a globalist. I have come from nowhere to the very heights of politics, not just in America, but in the world. We are engaging the globalist at point-blank range in the information war. But I don't deserve the credit. Yes, I've persevered, but the listeners and viewers who support InfoWars are the real reason we've had this success. We're having now the greatest victories in the fight against the New World Order we've ever had. We are now entering the final mile of the marathon. And that's why today it's more important than ever to realize how important you've been in this fight and to continue in the efforts you've been carrying out and to intensify them. God bless you all. I salute you. I thank you. And I beg you to intensify what you're doing now because we are over the target and history is happening. The fight is my fight. It's your fight. It's our fight. God bless you all.
Let me take some brain force, and then we'll do this commercial. How about that? I can think again. This is the liquid tincture version of brain force, which means you can really tailor it to exactly what you need. I tend to take maybe a little bit more than is directed, but it's incredibly powerful stuff, and I have an incredibly demanding job. But you make it easy by going to InfoWarsStore.com, and of course, InfoWarsStore.com makes it easy by supplying me with Brain Force Ultra. I rely on this product to do my job on a daily basis because it's absolutely jam-packed with incredible ingredients. Brain Force Ultra is now back in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and get it now because this stuff sells out fast for very good reason. It's a fantastic supplement. It's the type of supplement that once you start taking it, well, you're going to notice if you stop. Go check out what's in Brain Force Ultra. Do your own research, and what you'll find is that this is a powerhouse formula for incredible mental clarity, focus, and energy. Now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com. Brain Force Ultra is now on sale at InfoWarsStore.com.
Folks, Nerve Renew is in stock at InfoWarsStore.com, and this supplement is amazing for a number of different reasons. First of all, we know that prescription opioids and pain relievers end up making us feel groggy, cloudy of mind, and frankly, addicted after time. But with Nerve Renew, we have key natural ingredients. It's a nerve support formula designed specifically for peripheral neuropathy and nerve pain relief. So if you need help relieving your aches and pains and inflammation and maybe even some nerve damage that you have from an injury or just working with your hands for years and years, Nerve Renew is the way to go. So by visiting InfoWarsStore.com and getting Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top of the website, not only are you investing in your own health, relieving your own pain in a natural, healthy, and safe way, but you're keeping InfoWars on the air. We know that InfoWars is under attack. Alex Jones is under attack. Freedom of speech is under attack. But you can fight to keep InfoWars on the air. So please go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and get Nerve Renew under the InfoWars MD tab at the top.
InfoWars.com is tomorrow's news today.
You're watching The American Journal with your host, Chase Geyser. Watch live right now at band.video. Down on feet with a baby shine.
Okay, thank you so much. share all the plan, all our steps, how we can strengthen Ukraine. And of course, we have to decide it now, because after November, we don't know who is. Only Americans decide who will be the president. But we understand that till November, we can't stop Putin. We have to do it. We will try on the battlefield with our heroic soldiers. But we understand that after November, we have to decide. And we hope that the strength of the United States will be very strong. And we count on it. That's why I decided to meet with both candidates with all honor to them. Thank you.
Mr. President Trump, so what are your expectations about this meeting? So what I expect to hear from the President Zelensky, what are your expectations?
Say it a little louder.
What are your expectations from this meeting? What do you expect to hear from...
Look, this is a meeting, and we have a big race going on right now. I guess 37 days left, and we're leading in the polls, and so we'll see how it all works out. Hopefully it'll work out, but if it does, we're going to work very much with both parties to try and get this settled and get it worked out. It has to end.
And I don't know if the crew has a copy of the letter that Zelensky sent Trump asking him for this meeting, but by the tone, based on the tone of the letter, it seems very clear to me that Zelensky is thinking it's very likely that Trump is going to be the president. I mean, I don't want to use the term begging. It wasn't really begging, but it was almost begging to meet with him. Obviously, the situation in Ukraine is reaching levels of desperation like never before. The amount of men that they have lost is astounding. The conscription is astounding. Old men going into battle, people with Down syndrome. We've seen reports of this. We haven't been hearing much in the news, the mainstream news, about the war in Ukraine over the course of the last 6 months, at least, frankly, because it's not going very well. But we'll see what happens. I've never heard of a presidential candidate meeting with a foreign leader in this context before. This is fairly unprecedented as far as I know, as far as I'm concerned. It seems like Trump has been spending more time talking to world leaders. They've been reaching out to him more than they reach out to the Biden administration or to Kamala Harris. It's really unbelievable how obvious it is that the world has respect for Trump in a way that it simply doesn't for this existing administration. Let's go to Stephen in Alaska. Stephen, you wanted to talk about SSRIs? Hey, Stephen.
SSRIs for my generation, because I was born in 68, and we had processed foods really start to hit us then, food dyes, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of that stuff creates behavioral issues, which I had. So I got on to everything from Thorazine, what was it called, Melaril. And it took me a long time to really realize what they were doing to me. Between that, you start adding in the fluoride in the toothpaste and all the rest of it. And once you start to wake up to what they used to term as conspiracy theories, but now they're facts, I got away from the fluoride. I got away from the SSRIs. I started taking iodine to reverse a lot of the effects. And I actually started to figure out that they don't want you to know about hallucinogenics like LSD, MDMA, right, and all the rest of that, because when used properly, and when I mean properly, when used properly, in conjunction with not a therapist, but technically a therapist, because break therapist down in two words, it's the rapist. And that's what the bad ones are about. But you find good ones out there that are sincere about actually helping people. You can actually repair the mind of all of the trauma that you've been through. Because I say trauma, I went through it. Yeah, I did, man. Back then, my mom.
So how long have you been off of them?
Oh, gosh, 25 years.
Wow. And you feel better? You feel like you're functioning normally?
Yeah, I'm definitely functioning normally. And what's really crazy, everybody wants to say that that the guns are the issue, right, when it comes to SSRIs and people with mental health issues. And it's not the guns. I mean, we had guns in our trucks in high school. We used to go hunting after school. We had guns all over the house. We never thought about shooting anything up. All that is it goes back more to the bad therapists and the techniques that the CIA has developed, you know, through MK Ultra and all the rest of that stuff.
Yeah.
So that's the only opinion digression that I have from you as far as therapists go and all the rest of it. And there's some bad therapists out there. I mean, like I said, the root cause of the word, they tell you what it is.
Well, I mean, you got to be careful who you hire to work on your car, and you got to be careful who you hire to poke around in your brain too, Stephen. But I'm really glad to hear that you're doing so much better and that you were able to get off those drugs, man. God bless you, Stephen. I'll be praying for you, and I'll keep you in my thoughts. Mark in Texas. Mark, what is on your mind this morning?
Well, kind of that appeal to authority thing, I think, is a pretty impactful statement. My question to you is, as a Mason, how come your God is Allah, and how come your Masonic documents say Anolusis on them?
All right, I'm going to go on to the next call. None of those claims are true. Let's go to Sean in California. Sean, what's on your mind?
Well, real quick, Chase, am I coming in loud and clear for you?
You sound great.
Excellent. Just wanted to give you guys a little bit of props. The Alex Jones Store .com had a great turnaround on the order that I talked about earlier this week. I got my Fight for Freedom little Liberty Bell coin here with the quote from Ronald Reagan on the back. So I got a little bit of a challenge coin if I ever see you guys at a bar or something. And I got my answer 1984, 1776 wristband on. And it's, it's just really good customer service on your end on that.
Well, awesome. And, I appreciate that.
Yeah, I wanted to.
Now, let me ask you this. Did you buy the products because you like the products, or did you buy the products because you wanted to win the truck?
I buy the products because I like the products and I like the merch. And here's the thing. I buy the multiple wristbands and the stickers to give them out. And I've been looking for InfoWars stickers for a while because the main store site didn't have them. So finding out that there's stickers, for 1776, et cetera, on this site means I can finally have stickers mysteriously appear in my neighborhood again, magically, at various visible locations. I don't know how they get there, but it's good to see them up. I'm not going to say that the main thoroughfare had, along the bus route, stickers from every bus at the start of the route to the end of the route, but let's just say somebody may have passed some of those stickers out and had them, put up until the bus line got smart to it,
That's awesome, but, Sean.
But I was going to address the Kamala thing, but I heard something. I wanted to kind of give a tender, loving, brotherly rebuke, and it's not anyone's fault. Academia, if we've seen the chart provided by Elon Musk a couple of days ago, is highly ran by the Democrats and these, global socialists, whatever we want to call them. These folks have a narrative, and one they started in the 50s and 60s that was exposed by David Barton. He addressed this on Louder with Crowder. He addressed this on Kirk Cameron's documentary Monumental, is that the founders were deists. The founders in their diaries and in their writings are profoundly Christian. And academia had a couple of professors write a book saying that, no, they're just deists. They don't really believe in God.
Yeah.
And they cited no citations in their book. But if you go to the Founding Fathers documents, whether it's Franklin or Washington having Christmas services at churches, I mean, these guys were full-on, super Christians compared to what we
need
to
consider Christians. Some of them were deists, but there were many of them that were Christians. And the deists among them were very sincere in their pursuit of understanding God, at least. So it wasn't some passive, I believe in God, but I'm not going to think about it. These were people that were active. This is the Enlightenment. They were actively pursuing truth and understanding of the human condition and the Creator. There's even writings in Benjamin Franklin's autobiography, I believe, of him attending various churches that were recommended to him. I know Thomas Jefferson came out with the Jeffersonian Bible where he took out all the miracles and just left in the things that Jesus said because he didn't ascribe to what he referred to as the superstition or believed was superstitious about Christianity. But even the deists among them were more Christian than so many of the Christians among us today.
And the one thing you can look at, too, is David Barton covered this. One of the first things Congress did was order a printing of a Bible to be distributed amongst Congress and amongst the country. So everyone could have that. American American jurisprudence does not work without a Christian foundation, and that is why.
Well, that's why the Ten Commandments are up on the wall in the Supreme Court.
Exactly. So one person who doesn't follow any of that has been Kamala Harris, and I was telling the fellow, you know, setting up this call, that she left the path of ruin that everyone knows about in San Francisco. Well, it takes a few years for these bad policies to catch up throughout the rest of SoCal. So my little conservative suburb that's, you know, a little distance away from L.A., I'm telling you, in the last year, we have gotten all those problems have finally migrated eastward because it has built up so bad. It's bubbled out of Los Angeles County out here into Riverside County. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if she gets into this office, if we do not put our head on a swivel and do everything we can to get Donald John Trump into, you know, the White House, we are going to see those trashy policies of hers, such as supporting Prop 47 that turned second-class felonies into misdemeanors, the you know, early release for different types of felons. Meanwhile, people who are innocent, keeping them in jail and extorting them, you know, for more money. We're going to see this happen writ large across the country.
Absolutely. So everyone, if we think things are ugly now, just wait till 4 years under Kamala Harris.
This is not the time to be unmotivated. Anyone listening to my voice or your voice, Chase, put up the bootstraps, you know, get ready, get people out to vote, do poll watching, and pay attention. You know, think of it like stop the steal times 9,000, you know, like you're about to go Goku on all your things. You got to juggle, guys.
Yeah.
Everybody's got to juggle. And meanwhile, we got to make sure InfoWars, being this platform for us all to communicate across the country, that we actually support InfoWars, because there's not too many platforms like this that have this reach and have this depth of knowledge. And I give you guys props for fighting through it all. And I'm looking at some red and black InfoWars t-shirts with the old style print. It's probably my next purchase. So keep it going, guys.
God bless you, Sean. Thank you so much. Nate in Indiana. Nate, what is on your mind? Nate, are you there? All right, we'll move on to Tony.
Oh,
no. Tony in Texas. Let's go to Tony in Texas. Looks like we lost Nate.
Hey, Chase, what do how many Haitians does it take to screw in a light bulb?
How many?
None, because they're too damn busy eating your cat. I got one more for you.
Okay.
What do Haitians call slow geese at the park?
What? Dinner.
Hey, what I called in about, I'm taking up donations for the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, but to get him a new compass, because his compass must be broke because he keeps shipping all the illegal alien invaders from hell north instead of south.
Yeah.
So I think it's time for a new compass for the Nancy Pelosi in a wheelchair.
Yeah, I think you're right, too. I mean, sending them to swing states isn't going to help anybody, because if the Democrats win this election by stealing it, then they're going to give them all amnesty and citizenship, and then they're all going to vote Democrats, and then we have a one-party state. Tony, great call. Thank you for the levity. I appreciate it. Let's go to Baker in California. Baker.
Yo, okay. Well, I'm kind of glad Nate's call dropped, because here I am.
Amen.
All right. Yeah, listen, this is what I was thinking about. Like, towns like Springfield are like crippled because of Joe Biden's economy. Joe Biden reversed everything that Trump did, and that's why we see prices skyrocket. And people like Springfield are struggling, and they just dumped tens of thousands of people from Haiti there, and giving them all these handouts and all these resources, and then not. And none of those resources that easily could go to the American citizens. And on top of it, Joe Biden's policies could be like, I don't know, maybe we could go back to Donald Trump's policies. But we have to realize, like, I'm big picture kind of guy. And mm-hmm. It's because Joe Biden and the left represent the destruction of this country. They hate America and they want to completely overwhelm the system and collapse it. And not to mention, I mean, dude, there were people caught coming illegally over from the border that were linked to a Tajikistan network, right? And we all know, Tajikistan. It's one of those countries next to Pakistan. It's where ISIS is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So we talk a lot about, like, there's going to be Hezbollah attacks and terrorist attacks, but I think there's going to be some ISIS stuff popping off here. Okay. So we got to get ready for that. And, you know,
I totally agree with you, man. They've allowed not just refugees and asylum seekers to come into the country, but tens of thousands. The last estimate that I saw, which is very dated, was 72,000 people of the 10 million at the time that had come across the border illegally were from terrorist countries. So there's tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands now, of terrorists that have come into the country. It's absolutely astounding. Baker, thank you for your call. I appreciate it. Let's go to Karen in California. Karen, what's on your mind?
Hi. There's actually, I think, 5 attempts on Trump's life. He was at the border, and he had to get out. He moved briskly away.
Yes.
The Pennsylvania rally. The chemicals in Florida, of course, and the airplane. He and...
Vance.
Oh, someone else has the airplane also, but so I think there's 5 at least.
Yeah. Yep. And just imagine the ones that we don't know about too, Karen. They're obviously trying to kill him because he's winning, and it's not just rogue actors or fluke lunatics that are doing it. It seems to be very coordinated. I mean, if you have a Ryan Routh come out and say in his manifesto, which I don't know why the DOJ published it, that there's a $150,000 bounty on the head of Donald Trump, then obviously there is money and coordination behind the elimination of Trump as a political threat. And I hope he's taking it seriously now. But to say that this is just rogue actors or lunatics that are doing this, no. This is very intentional. They want this to happen. They're standing down. They're backing and funding these assassins. They want it to happen, and we have to do everything we can to stop them. Sherry, what's on your mind? Let's go to Sherry, please. Hey, Sherry, I hear you now.
Hi. I just wanted to thank you guys. I know. Hi, Chase. I have a lot to talk about, but it's kind of scary because I grew up in a border town. I grew up in an area where we saw drastic influxes. They were taking over schools, high schools.
Where'd you grow up?
By the bay. It's like Port Hueneme area, Oxnard, Ventura County.
Yeah.
And they would bus them in. They would stay in these sectioned areas. And there was a lot of kids. I saw a lot of children with no parents. And they would be given housing. They would be given food. They would take them to all around town to the restaurant. And they would take them to eat at the restaurant. It was really strange. And then the schools got filled up to where there's all non-English speaking classes. I had friends whose children never spoke Spanish a day in their life, and they were crying and coming home because the teacher was saying that they had to talk to them in Spanish. And there, it was a lot of things were changed where they signs were in Spanish. Our curriculum was in Spanish. My mom worked for the school district for 35 years. When I would go to the beach, there would be very scary men come up to you, hustling you for money to park. They would hustle the truck drivers to park. It was bad. So everything that was happening to my town is now happening to the rest of the United States.
Yeah. Well, I'm really sorry to hear that. But everything that's happened to Europe is going to happen to the United States, too, next.
If
we don't do something about it. So, Sherry, thank you for your call and raising awareness on that. I appreciate it. Angelina in North Carolina. Angelina, what's on your mind?
Hey, hi. I love your products. Number one, I've been using it for years. And two, I left California, born and raised in West Los Angeles, Santa Monica, Beverly Hills area. Finally left and moved to North Carolina. But I wanted to share a story. It's not a story. It's real. A bunch of families sued Kamala Harris back in 2014, 2013, class action lawsuit against Kamala Harris when she was the AG. They stole our houses. We never missed payment, but they came down foreclosed on a bunch of us families. And Ruth Studer called her, emailed her, called her office. She never, ever responded to nothing. Later, we found out her biggest donor was Bank of America, and it was Bank of America that was stealing the houses. At the end of it, they did steal the houses, and we tried to sue her, and what she did, nothing. And she actually put our attorney in jail for some tiny little minor thing for 10 years, and that, wow, that lawsuit disappeared. And we were told at that time that she needs to have no stings because she was headed for the White House with Obama. Those rumors were out there way back then. Wow. A lot of us that were in Tea Party, yeah, we got IRS. It was a mess back then. I just want to say that people are taking this too lightly. I mean, she's already got it rigged to steal it, and we need to be more on the offensive. We need to be more suing now. Why aren't those voter rolls getting cleaned? Why aren't the machines getting cleaned up? All these are all distractions to keep us away from that. Why do we have to wait till November 6th to start screaming? We need to do it now. To the senators, to everyone that will listen, those voter rolls, those the SAVE Act, all that needs to be front and center. We need to start fighting now, not November 6th. And that's all I want to say.
Absolutely, Angelina. Thank you for that call. You're absolutely right. James in Ohio. James, what's on your mind?
James, Ohio Energy Management. Good morning.
Good morning.
I just wanted to make 2 points here. One, I'm a co-owner of Texas Energy Management, the owner of Ohio Energy Management, and we literally have a product that will get Alex the $1 million he needs in the next couple months. Basically, through deregulation, the listeners of this program can enroll to a lower electric rate, have it be a fixed electric rate for 1 to 2 years. Alex gets paid $50 for an enrollment, and he gets paid on the energy usage as well. 20,000 people enroll to it through a link that's on InfoWars website. Problem solved. I sent an email to the affiliates program. I'll resend it again if you want to check it out.
Sure. I'm happy to check that out, James.
I appreciate it. Why I called in, though, is anybody else concerned that the stage is kind of being set for America to elect somebody to fix all their problems? Like, eventually people are going to figure out that the banks are all behind this anyways. And I think what we're kind of seeing is, I'm not going to say it, but it's it's kind of scary. We're looking for one leader to fix everything.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think that Trump's going to be a dictator, but the fact that it's gotten to a point where one person is so important is a huge problem. I mean, the fact that it got to the point where Elon Musk had to buy X in order to save free speech on the internet, a rogue billionaire had to just have the audacity to do something never done before for billions upon billions of dollars for no reason. I mean, that's an incredibly dangerous place to be in. We obviously have a very deep problem in the system itself. And the fact that we've gotten to the point where we rely on just a handful of individuals as our saving grace to save us is totally untenable. It's just something that we can't survive. Folks, we're coming up on the end of the show today. The Alex Jones Show begins in exactly 3 minutes, hosted by your very own Alex Jones in studio today. Please stay tuned for that. In the meantime, please go to InfoWarsStore.com. Get any number of our supplements for your mind, your body. They keep InfoWars on the air. And please go to TheAlexJonesStore.com. Get our Save Alex Jones broadcast fundraiser shirt. It's the black shirt with the red InfoWars logo at the top. Anything you buy enters you to win this amazing $138,000 Dodge Ram truck, plus $10,000 in cash, and it keeps the truth broadcast worldwide to save humanity from the globalists.
I've been telling listeners for months that InfoWars is very close to being shut down. And now people are taking it serious because it's all over the news that InfoWars will be sold at auction coming up on November 16th. Now listen, we've got Patriot buyers. Hopefully they're able to win the bid. But regardless, we're going to continue on. And that means we need sponsors for whatever new organizations get set up. So if you want to keep us on air one way or the other and checkmate the New World Order, go to our sponsors and support them. The AlexJonesStore.com for amazing t-shirts and ball caps to spread the word in the third dimension. And fund the operation, and also go to drjonesnaturals.com. That's separate from InfoWars as well. They're sponsors of InfoWars right now. So you support InfoWars, whether it stays in the air or not, and you support sponsors going forward if we've got to set up a new operation and I'll work with somebody else. I don't intend on giving up. I won't give up. I'll never give up, but I could give out if you don't support us. These are great products. You need them. Go to thealexjonesstore.com and drjonesnaturals.com. Get great products and keep us on the air. God bless you. Now take action. Please listen closely because this is life-changing critical information. The globalists are bombarding us with toxic chemicals hitting us in the air, the water, the food, the 5G, the poison shots, the shedding, the GMO, all of it. But God's given us compounds through nature that do incredible things in our body. And one of the most important, if not the most important, is vitamin B12. We've got the best organic vitamin B12, Ultra 12, a bestseller finally back in stock after close to a year being sold out. You take it under the tongue for better absorption, and it's 40% off right now at InfoWarsStore.com. So go to InfoWarsStore.com right now, get your Ultra 12 and other great products, and for 40% off, some products are even more, and it keeps the show on the air. That is a 360 win. The only way you lose is not taking action. I thank you all for your support, being part of this fight. Now go to InfoWarsStore.com right now.
You're listening to The Alex Jones Show.